You're now tuned in to Culture Freedom Radio, right here on TalkShoe.com, where we keep it raw and uncut, and most definitely we are here to liberate the minds of the people. Culture Freedom Radio, yes it is, the home of Conscious Talk Radio and much, much more. Come check us out right here on TalkShoe.com. Culture Freedom Radio, be in the house, in the house, in the house.
All right, family, peace. How y'all doing out there? Welcome in one more time to Culture Freedom Radio Network. Almost definitely in this house right here on this fantastic Wednesday night. Yes, sir, most definitely. We're in this house with y'all right here again for Culture Freedom Radio Network for another exciting topic of conversation for you. Oh, yes, sir. Tonight's topic of conversation is, first of all, let me say, this is March the 20th, 2024. Yes, sir, it is 24 March, yes, sir. Tonight we have a topic of conversation, man. Should American citizens be worried about the way the country is turning out? Yes, sir. Should. Brother Dave, I had to change up the topic, Brother Dave, the title. But should American citizens be worried about the way that the country is turning out? Let me read y'all the description, get y'all the descriptions as I can. Couple of questions. Is there a need to worry about all the retail stores that's closing down? Y'all heard several stores that's closing down. They having Family Dollar also, which is owned by Dollar Tree as well. There will be several Family Dollars and Dollar Tree that's closing down. We've been hearing about Tyson Food is leaving Iowa and places and moving and laying off, letting a lot of people go, and they're moving elsewhere, and they're hiring immigrants. So there's a lot of people in Iowa who will be losing their jobs. Another question is there a need to worry about the rising crime rate across America? Yeah, we know these crime rates are off the Richter scale. Man, I tell y'all, it is pure pandemonium here in America with this crime. Should Americans be concerned about the open borders? Y'all know that's a hot topic right now, right here in America, those open borders. They claim it ain't, but hell, it's wide open. It ain't just the borders. Hell, they coming in on airplanes. They bringing them in on buses and all kind of ways they're coming in. Yeah, so should Americans be concerned about these open borders? Because now I've seen some things. I was watching a video. They were talking about they actually have arrested someone who was on the terrorist list. Yes, sir. He assaulted some officers. And then they have been saying that there's over 100 and some people who's on the terrorist list that's actually in America. So the next question is right here tonight, should Americans be worried about the possibility of a terrorist attack here in America? Yes, sir. But should Americans be worried about the way the country is turning out? So that's what we want to talk about right here tonight on Culture Freedom Radio Network, most definitely, y'all. And I just got to say here, apologize if we didn't get a chance to come on Saturday. Some things came up, y'all, and didn't get a chance to come on Saturday for the topic on Saturday, but we still have it. We rescheduled it for this Friday night. The topic will be for this Friday night right here on Culture Freedom Radio Network is they will make up anything to prove that Jesus was the Messiah and King of Israel. So we will be doing that one this Saturday. I have to reschedule. So, yes, sir, I have to reschedule that show. So let's get here. Let's get slip music in here right fast. Let me see if I can get it this time. Y'all know about that Curtis Mayfield. There's hard times. Yes, sir. They've come off the album There's No Place Like America right there, Curtis, the late, great Curtis Mayfield. Yes, sir. Talk about, man, There's No Place Like America, Curtis Mayfield. That was a bumping album right there, man. I'm telling y'all, that was a bumping album right there. Number one album. I like that one, man. Yes, sir. Back in the days, I used to like the song on there, Talking About Jesus. Y'all remember that song right there? That junk used to bump, man. I used to like that one. That was thumping right there. But, you know, I'm not into Christianity. But let me get y'all a little sample right fast, and I'm going to get out of here. We're going to get this show on the ball. Let's just a sample. I like the instrumental. I like the instrumental. Let me kind of get this commercial out of the way. Yeah, that right there, that Curtis Mayfield. I used to love that one right there. I used to like this one back in the day.
Maybe the words I say is just another way to pray.
Oh, my. How many of y'all remember that one? Y'all old school.
I'm in the same place. I can't do nothing for you.
Yes, sir. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Yes, sir. Let's get it on the ball. Let's get it on the ball. Yes, sir. Tonight's topic, this show is tonight hosted by your good brothers, Betty is Tamari David Israel. Yes, sir. Also known to you as Rabbi David Israel. And our good brother Justice in the house tonight. Brother Alphamel will not be in the house tonight. He had to take care of his business, so he's not in the house tonight. But I am your brother Sunray 9, also known as Brother Aria Israel as well. So let's get this thing going like Soul Train, y'all. Man, should American citizens be worried about the way this country is turning out? I'm telling y'all, this America, man, is beginning to be unrecognizable. Yes, it's starting to be unrecognizable, you know, and I throw this out of here right fast, and the brothers' mics are open. I know a lot of so-called in the Black Power community and a lot of brothers who, I'm say Black Americans, some who made the Black Power community, and some even in the Israelite community say, man, America need to fall. Damn America. Chat down Babylon and this, that, and another, you know, so... You know, there's a lot of things been said, but I have to ask this question, though, even with that. Okay, because Elijah Muhammad taught the fall of America. Yes, taught the fall, there will be a fall of America and so on. But I ask this question with the way we seeing things are going, and maybe y'all say, yeah, America getting what's coming to them because of what they did to their former slaves and this, that, and other. And, you know, the Israelites probably say, yeah, that's the Most High Yahweh and Yah. He's punishing America. He's going to do this. He's going to destroy America. He's going to destroy our enemies. But I have to ask y'all, though, if this system do fall, as a lot of people hope for, you know, are you ready, so-called Black Americans? Are you ready to stand on your own? Or are you prepared for this system? That's what I should ask. Are you prepared for this system, as you say, Babylon, to fall? Are you prepared? Do you, because like with all of these jobs closing down and some leaving, and y'all, some of y'all say, damn the white man jobs, but still we have to ask, where are your jobs? Where are your, you know, companies that you can employ these Black Americans with? Where are your companies? That's what I'm saying. Are you prepared? Where are your food chains? Your farmland where you can actually produce the food that Black people need to feed their community. Because now I'm saying you to Black Power, you're Black centered. You said, damn America, this, that. You have to be able to, like people said, the Moors, you're sovereign. So if you're sovereign, you have to be able to stand on your own. You can't depend on nothing of America. That's what y'all are screaming for, separation. Now you're getting your chance. Now here's your goddamn chance, though. But where are your products? Where is your productivity you have to be able to support Black people in these times that we're going to see? Oh, yeah, we finna see some times, y'all. Like I was going to name this show at one time, American Citizens. You're at the Valley of Decisions. A lot of how many of y'all know and read that part in the Bible? We talk about being in the Valley of Decisions because we're there now. We're truly there in the Valley of Decisions now. So it's like almost Jeremiah says, this day, which one will you choose? Now, he was talking about to serve y'all or serve, you know, but which day would you choose? You got it's time, y'all. What the Bible always say, the time is now at hand. Yes, it's truly at hand. There's decisions that have to be made. So I just want to throw that out there. Come on, brothers. Y'all come on in the house, man. Y'all come on in the house. Peace to y'all, brothers. Peace, Brother Dave and Brother Justice in the house. Peace.
Peace, Brother Ariyah, Yasha Allah. I thought I would let Chief Rabbi come in and lay out his scripture and everything. I like, you know,
yes,
like he likes to do. So I don't know if he's available to start, but
hey, I'm here. What's up, man?
What's
shalom,
going on,
shalom,
my brother?
What's up? Hold on, shalom, Dave. Shalom. What you said? What's up, man? You been down in Memphis again, hanging out on Beale Street, talking about what's up, man? You been hanging with Justice? I call that what's up, man. Yeah, what's up, Dave?
What's up, man? Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
I speak shout out to Liberation Tabernacle of Yah Lions by Radio, called Freedom Radio. And I hope everybody's doing all right. I want to say we're getting ready for Purim, where we celebrate the good queen, mother, Esther, or as you call it, Hadassah, Feast of the Lots, which she fought against Haman, who tried to destroy us as Israelites in Persia. So I'm gonna be doing a show Saturday and also Friday. So be tuned for that. Go to our talk show, Liberation Tabernacle Yah, and also go to check out our YouTube page, Liberation Tabernacle Yah, where Moray Ariyah Israel, my good dear brother, man. Brother, man, he's gonna beat up on Paul. he like Floyd Mayweather on. He go Floyd Mayweather on Paul's ass. So, you know, he ain't no joke. He ain't gonna let y'all Paulines get away. So, and I sure ain't gonna let y'all Jesus loving niggas get away either. So, yeah.
Oh, one thing, dude. I'm glad you reminded us, Dave. One thing I'm glad you reminded Shalakia. Yeah, Brother Dave, we will be doing for this Purim, which will be, what they say, Saturday night. We will be actually doing, Dave, we usually do it on Talk Show, but we're going to actually do the Purim lecture this Saturday night right here on Blog Talk Radio. So, yeah, Dave will be bringing,
okay.
Brother Glory, Dave will be bringing you the Purim show live right here on Blog Talk Radio this Saturday, 7 p.m. Central. So, yeah, we just throw it out. It'll be live right here this Saturday. All right. Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. And look, it's going to be featuring Moray Ariyah Israel, too, because he's going to be up there, too, teaching. So he's going to be up there, too. He's going to come on in because he is the co-founder of this ministry with me. So come on in and come on check us out. 8 o'clock, my time, 7 his time. So, yeah, we're going to be doing that.
Yes,
we going in. And also, so tonight, I was reading an article earlier. Moray Ariyah.
Yeah, I caught you.
I got my article. I was at work today, right? And
yes,
so today at work, I had a, I don't know if I sent you this article or not, but there was an article that I sent. I think I might have sent it to you. I think I might have. Let me go and get it.
It wasn't the one about the lady got arrested, was it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got
that
one.
Yes, sir. All right, so let me go and get that article out because it's crazy.
It was a video, yes, sir.
It was a video, but I'm going to read this article. It's on New York Post.
Yes,
it says vigilantes tried to evict squatters at 1 million Queens House after homeowner who confronted them arrested in tense standoff. A pair of vigilantes allegedly tried to forcibly evict three alleged squatters from a million-dollar Queens home. So the homeowner was arrested when she changed the locks and tried to remove them. Two unidentified men driving a black pickup truck pulled into the driveway of the Flushing home searching for the tenants Tuesday afternoon. According to the Daily Mail, we are looking to get this guy out. One of the men allegedly said a neighbor told the outlet, I'm here to talk to him. I want to see why he is here. Adele Andaloro, 47, was in the process of selling the property when the group shadily took refuge in a home last month. Andaloro inherited the $1 million property from her parents after they died. She confronted the trio and changed the locks. They would not be able to re-enter if they left. However, a male inside the home called the police on Andaloro, who was later arrested. Neighbors have noticed some concerning activity from the house since the alleged squatter snaked their way into the house. Now, a 24-year-old college student living next to the home, identified only as Costa, said she's been on the edge since the occupants arrived. We all know what they are up to, so we're all kind of pissed about it, Costa told the outlet Tuesday. The concerned neighbors claimed boards were all over the property and the people occupying the home were doing construction on the house all night long. I heard a drill, saw through my window that they were drilling holes into the wall and putting up boards, Costa said. I don't know if the board is still there, but it looked like they were trying to hide what was inside. It says a woman who requested to remain anonymous claimed she saw one of the unethical dwellers carry a door into the home late one night. So, what I wanted to get into was when it comes time for these squatters, these foreigners, and a lot of immigrants, they are breaking into these houses. A lot of these foreigners are breaking into these houses. And they're taking over, and they don't give a damn. They don't care. So this is something we have to get into talking about, because when it comes time for the foreigners and the people that ain't from here, they are doing this stuff on purpose. They don't give a damn. You know, Moray RBI was talking about earlier about, you know, them getting food stamps, them coming over here getting all kinds of grants, all kinds of loans. This is something that a lot of politicians are allowing to happen. So you hear black Americans coming over here talking about some, well, we need reparations. Well, you know it's how they give these foreigners that come over here illegally money and stuff, but they're not giving you none. So Maury Aria earlier was talking about how a lot of conscious black folks like the Moors are, well, glad they are tearing up America, glad they're doing this. A lot of these people are saying this. But what you all don't see is after they tear up America, as Maury Aria asked earlier, they're tearing up your land. Where are you going? How are you going to handle this? How are you going to take control? Like Janet Jackson said, I'm in control. So how are you going to take control? You all have black Muslims walk around here. They're FOIs. Where are they at policing the streets? They used to be the law enforcement inside the black community. You look at shows like Godfather of Harlem where, you know, the FOIs is, oh, they all taking control of some shit. They don't care. They running the projects, getting all the crack dealers out. Well, where the hell the FOI getting all these immigrants out? They so powerful. They're so big and bad. Oh, they don't use no guns for security. Well, you ain't doing none of that Jackie Chan FOI shit on none of these foreigners, is you? Huh? They over here breaking into houses, taking over shit wrongfully. And something I want to bring up. This is a lady who seemed to be Spanish, just like the people who took over our house that's doing this. The fact that foreigners is getting mad at their own people goes to show that these people are a goddamn problem. There's a problem. And I'm going to tell you something. I've talked to other immigrants. I've worked with people whose families ain't from here. And they will tell you, I don't want them damn people here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, damn. And a lot of stuff, I'm going to tell you, a lot of them are into cannibalism, a lot of into Satanism. You hear a lot of these black folks, they over there, when Twitter top touch is Spanish people or Israelites. Well, something I'm going to tell you. How come they over there practicing Catholicism? If they
Santeria.
Santeria. They over there practicing stuff like that. And I'm going to tell you something. I met plenty of Spanish women who are Satanists. There's a real big thing going on. So while you black men going over there, getting Spanish prostitutes, bringing them over here, I'm going to tell y'all got to watch out for them. Cause them some wicked hoes. Them some wicked hoes. These some wicked hoes. Let me get a scripture out real quick. Let me get our scripture real quick. I'm going to get Proverbs 7 and 11. Proverbs 7 chapter. I'm going to quote something that King Solomon said. Proverbs 7, chapter 11, verse. It says, she coos, Proverbs 7, 11. She coos and she entices. Her feet do not dwell at home. Proverbs 7 and 12. Sometimes in the courtyard, sometimes in the streets, she lurks at every corner. She sees them and kissed them. She thrust forth her face and said to them, it said to them, so right there. It says, I vow to bring peace offerings today. I fulfilled my vow. It says, that's why I went out toward you to seek your countenance. I found you. It says, I have decked my bed with spreads of linen. I perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us stay ourselves with love until the morning. Let us rejoice with acts of love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a distant journey. He has taken the money pots with him. He will come home at the appointed time. So this is something that I want y'all to realize. These women, King Solomon talked about this. These women out here that aren't from here, they're pretty much, I hate to say it, they're hoes. Houdini said, I'm a hoe. You know I'm a hoe. I'll be serious. They out there, they sell that cootie cat, that kitty cat. I ain't going to be so vulgar. For nothing. Them Spanish women over there in Brazil and Dominican Republic, they over there doing all kinds of nasty stuff. They do that with everybody. And you got a lot of these black men. Oh, yeah, they love me. They don't love your ass. Married. They can't no married woman love no other man besides her husband. So this is something that you all got to see. They set that up specifically to get your ass. That's what they do. So you all out here who are falling for some of these Spanish women, don't do it. And a lot of these ISUPK, last year they had an issue at the border where these illegals was crossing over. And they had Haitians doing the same thing, crossing over illegally. And you had these, some of these Israelite camps going at the border specifically getting these women. That's what they do. They're going over here. You see a lot of these brothers, oh, yeah, go get you. They always boost up this Hispanic, Haitian, and Caribbean women and all that. And these light-skinned women from other countries, that's because they easy to get. They trying to get over here, so they going to boost your head up with all kinds of stuff. Okay? So these Israelite brothers out here in these camps, they use this opportunity to get in the draws of these women, and these women are... That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. They are, okay, you can get in my drawers. And guess what? They over there, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. They're using that. Using this opportunity. Oh, what they want some pussy. So when you see a lot of these Spanish women coming over here, and you see a lot of these black brothers with them, that's how they got over here. They're all prostitutes. Don't allow them over here. Throw them Puerto Rican women back over there. We don't want no damn Puerto Rican women. They ugly as hell in the damn way.
Man.
Okay, well,
you know they said that America is the home of, what is it, immigrants or something. I forgot how they say it, but a land of opportunity, a land of immigrants.
Yeah, and guess what? I don't want no Mexican women over here either. Them damn with them drawed in eyebrows and them damn Now I don't want them over here.
You gonna be labeled Mexican phobic? Well, like they had made up the one Islamic phobic. You gonna be Mexican phobic?
Yeah, fuck. We don't need them over here. send them back.
But you know, even what it's more than just, see, that's what I want to throw out too. When we say the immigrants, mostly everybody just primarily start thinking about the Hispanic population or the Mexican whatnot that's coming over here. But it's more than them. Remember, even before that, you have they were bringing people from the Ukraine over here. Hell, before that, they brought in people from Ukraine. So hell, some of them came to Nashville. They brought in people from Afghanistan. Hell, they got people coming from Africa coming over here. They got the Haitians. Oh man, goddamn! I don't know if y'all been paying attention to what's going on in Haiti. It's pure pandemonium with the gangs over there. So they got a lot of Haitians. Maybe some of them are already coming, but primarily probably be on the way. I don't blame them trying to get the hell out of Haiti. I don't blame them, y'all. But you got
me either.
You have the Chinese immigrants that's been coming over here too. I don't know if y'all paid attention to all these Chinese immigrants that's been coming. So, but mostly when you say immigrants, most of the time people just start automatically. I was thinking about this today. We automatically start thinking about the Hispanics or so-called Mexicans because they coming through Mexico, and I guess that's why we just automatically think that. But no, it's more than that. It's people from all over coming here. But I would just ask that, though, should we kind of be worried about the way this country is turning out? I'm actually looking at it right now while we on here on the air. What's the guy's name? I spoke about it last week. Kylie Renthouse or something. I just pronounced his name. He's at
Kyle
the University.
Renthouse.
Renthouse. Yeah, he's at the University of Memphis, supposed to be giving a speech or something there for some students, but you know, talking about the First Amendment, Second Amendment rights, your right for Second Amendment, and he's supposed to be talking about how Black Lives Matter is a lie. So he's there, and I'm watching, they got so-called protesters outside protesting his, because they didn't want him there. And it's mostly these goddamn Black Lives Matter, and people just, they protesting some bullshit they don't have, which is stupid what they out there pros, because the man is pro, he's telling you about your Second Amendment right, because they mad about actually his case, and some people even saying, how did he get off on that murder charge? Well, hell, you know, I ain't gonna get into that. That's not the show tonight. But you know, he was defending himself. Was the Black Lives Matter then was jumping on him? So he did defend himself, even though he was 17. He had a rifle, which y'all don't know. Look up the law. He had a shotgun or a rifle, actually. But anyway. So he's out there talking about your Second Amendment rights. And yeah, like I told my wife, hell, if y'all mad because since y'all were probably going to say he's a white guy speaking against Black Lives Matter, I told my wife, shit, I wish they would have let me get up there and do the damn speech then, because they're going to say he white, he talk against Black Lives Matter. I said, shit, they ain't have to pay me. I do the goddamn speech then. I tell them, goddamn it, how Black Lives Matter is a goddamn lie. Y'all can't say goddamn it, I'm racist because I'm a black person telling you it's a bunch of bullshit. So anyway, so they out there with that stupid ass shit protesting against that. It's just stupid, bro. It's just goddamn stupid ass liberal University of Memphis students out there with that dumb ass shit, just ignorant shit, and people trying to tell them the truth about what's going on. See, this is the problem too. This is why America's turning out the way that it's turning out, and nobody's here. Like I said again, when you look at it, I'm looking at this here from Business Insider. It says dollar stores. Let me see. Dollar stores have popped up almost everywhere in the U.S. over the last decade or so, but Family Dollars is about to shrink. The chain will close about 1,000 stores in the coming years, the parent company Dollar Tree said last week. That's about 13% of all Family Dollar stores in the U.S. Now, let me stop right here for a second. Now, I don't know about the rest of the cities where y'all live in, but I know the Family Dollars are heavily located in, I was going to say, black communities, especially where I'm in Memphis. And we support the hell out of them. Well, they robbed us, just steal the shit out of them. They steal their ass off out of Family Dollars for one. But they're heavily these stores that's in the black community where a lot of black people in our communities, we go get, hell, I go to Family Dollars and shit. You know, you get your washing powder and stuff like that. And a lot of stuff you go in there and, you know, and, you know, get dish detergent, you know, a lot of stuff you go in there, just people just shop there. So it's going to affect a lot of people in the so-called black community. I think it's one, I heard today, they said one close to me is getting ready to close. There's only like two in my area, right in my area, probably less than 5 minutes away from each other, but they're getting ready to close down one. So people on that side now got to flock and go to this other spot. And a lot of the people elderly, you know, so some people have problems getting around already. But, yeah, so Family Dollars is – that's, and that's jobs. See, this is what we're talking about, jobs. Like I said, Tyson Food, they're closing. They're about to close down in Iowa. So there's a lot of jobs and things. Y'all look around, there's a lot of things that like, places are closing now. So this is what we're looking at here because people like talking about, hey, man, we don't have any job opportunities. Y'all complaining. People complain about money. And a lot of these jobs where they're closing, what they're doing at the same time is they're probably leaving certain areas, and some of the places, like maybe Tyson, they're going to be closing some areas and moving elsewhere and bringing in immigrants, giving these jobs to immigrants at lower prices. They may pay you $15 an hour, but they'll probably give them probably maybe $10. So a lot of this is going on with these companies as well. So, you know, it's just crazy, a lot of stuff that's happening in America, but these immigrants they're bringing in, they're going to be getting a lot of the jobs that American citizens once had. And, you know, so it's going to be interesting. And one more thing right fast, PBS, I'm looking at PBS. We talked about this last week and we were talking about how in 2030, how they've been talking about 2030. Here's something right here. We, you know, with this immigration thing again, I'm looking at here. It's talking about the, it says what the country will look like racially in 2030. Whites will have dropped to 55.8% of the population, and Hispanics will have grown to 21% of the population. The percentage of blacks and Asian Americans will grow significantly, but they ain't have no thing on them. But it was something I was actually looking over this and how they was basically going to say, and I seen something else saying about 2045 that they were saying how whites would be actually minority. The so-called white population would be the minority around about 2045. But around about 2030, they were saying one time, I seen that they were saying that the Hispanic population, as they call Hispanics, would be the majority in the country. So while blacks are cheerleading the destruction of the country and all of this type of stuff, you know, I'm not saying everybody, but y'all know who we talk about when we're saying they're cheerleading the destruction of the country. Your ass still ain't going to get, you still not going to be up there in ranking and having shit. Excuse my language, y'all. You still ain't going to be in the ranking of being there where you have anything. You just cheerleading your own demise. And you start cheerleading, like I said, when you're cheerleading the destruction of this country, they still got black people talking about, man, fuck this shit, man. We don't want Trump in there. Like I said, it's not about him, but we're talking about a policy, a message. Well, really, it's a policies, a message, theological. I'm trying to get my words right, y'all. An idea, concepts about what's happening. It's like we're saying Americans first, right? Meaning we're saying, you know, you shouldn't try to help other people. But again, like they always tell you, it always starts at home first. So as American citizens, we supposed to be helping each other first. Like I said, it's a god doggone shame how you have veterans and things who fought, went out to fight the wars and things of this nature, who coming back, they're sleeping on the streets. And we're seeing all of these other things just happening. Just, I've seen a video. I started to send it to you. And I was going to ask you, was it actually happening in Philadelphia? They were showing how Philadelphia almost looked like, it does. It don't look almost. I don't know if that was actually Philly, just video now. I should have had you clarify it for me. It looked like some of those places in San Diego I was seeing, how people were, they were showing, man, on these drugs, just like, you know, how they show them like they just froze up, man, just bending all over, like they was walking and just bent all over. And they showed a place with just needles and stuff everywhere. It's just terror. It's just It's just hard to imagine.
You know,
this is what's happening. You know, is that true, brother?
It is very true, and this
Damn.
Is a good place for me to come in.
Yes, sir.
And I'll take some actual pictures of that scene and send it directly to you, because
Damn.
It is appalling. And so many businesses had to close down on this main corridor that all of these people are living under, where the train lets you off and you can get down off of there. And you used to go shop right there at Allegheny, right under the L there. They call it Kensington and Allegheny.
Yeah.
And you can get off there and walk all the way up and down there. And it was stores on each side of all kinds that you can go and buy things at, pawn shops and everything. So now the majority of everything is closed except for maybe a couple of stores on that whole strip. And I don't even know how they remain open with all of these zombies everywhere and living outside on the sidewalk. They put tents up. They have open drug use. You know, needles are seen on the sidewalk, and you see people walking around with needles in their hand. And it's just, they look dirty, and then a lot of them just standing there look like they're going to fall over, but they don't fall.
Yeah, and that's it right there, yeah.
The other day I was riding past not far from that same, it's really the same area, but this man, he's holding on to a fence. And his pants is down, kind of, or mostly, and his behind is showing to the public, and he don't even realize that he's out of his natural mind because he's on some drugs. Mm-hmm. And all his behind is showing, and some guy walked to him and said, "Hey, man, pull your pants up and stuff." So he finally snapped out of it, and then, you know, he started pulling his pants up. I guess he realized his pants was down at that point. But, yeah, that's very, very bad. And, see, that's what relates to all of the stores closing, the dollar stores and the Dollar Generals, and because they announced that over 100 of the stores are going to close soon. And that's due to these people that are on these drugs, and generally because they're white, they're not looked at or even policed like a black person would be as they walk in the store, a taxpaying citizen, maybe holding a job or two, but, you know, they're scrutinized and looked at like they're going to steal something when they may make more than the person they're looking at. But meanwhile, these whites will come in there and they on them drugs and whatever the case, they got these big jackets on and everything, and they will be in there, nobody looking at them, and they will be tucking away everything in their coats and pockets and purses and the white women and the men. I see it every day all over here. They closed the Rite Aid down right over here because of these people. It ain't because of no black people. It's because of these fentanyl people and these heroin addicts that are robbing these stores blind, and they know that it's so many of them doing it that they have a limit to how much they can take before they put them in jail. So they can steal up to $1,000 worth of stuff, and then it just be a misdemeanor. So they let them right out after they steal, and they supporting their drug habit by stealing all of everything in the store. Anything they can get their hands on and walk out of there with, they do, and they've been doing it for years. And this is the reason why these stores are closing. Black people ain't never stole at this kind of a rate that you can make us look like we did this and we the reason why these stores are closing. That would be absurd. Black people don't steal like that. These people on these drugs do.
I don't know where you live in. Well, you in Philadelphia, like I said. Ah, shit. Well, you need to come to Memphis and you will see. See, because that's what I asked you, because we don't see that.
Y'all got any fentanyl heads down there?
No, that's what I'm saying. When I see those videos, I'm like, damn. That's why I had to ask. I asked,
they got in Virginia, too.
I asked Brother V about this situation. He said, yeah. I'm like, damn. Then I see it in y'all. They be like they on the corner 2 days, standing like they all just slumped over and stuff on drugs too.
Yep. They be all from the Wawas and shit. Yep.
Damn.
That's what I'm saying. This is an epidemic, y'all. I mean, it might not be happening in Memphis the way that, you know, across the country, even in white towns, that these people have gotten hooked on these drugs and they will steal their way to the next drug, hit or whatever
but
you got to do.
But I'm just saying, but when you say that their clothing, because they the ones stealing, it ain't the blacks. Well, that's not true in this city. I can only say for what this city. That's why I say sometimes only in Memphis. I only say what's Memphis. In this city, man, they robbing these goddamn black folk, robbing these stores blind. And a lot of these dudes ain't even drug users. Like they smashing, grabbing, and shit going on. These I don't know. I would say younger people, but hell, ain't no telling who all it is. These are not. I would say not drug users. These basically like gang organized shit that they're doing, and man, tearing these stores up. Like City Tree and them and all this shit they was having. These are a bunch of younger people who've been doing this stuff here.
They do City Trees like that down here too.
Damn.
Well, every now and then, they'll have an organized thing and they, you know, okay, we all going to meet here. We all going to do this thing. And then they'll do that. And that's a one-time thing for a few months. And then maybe it'll happen again. It ain't an everyday thing like these fentanyl people stealing every single day, all day. Okay? And that's why all these stores is closed. Huh?
Hey, Justice, you right. It's fentanyl and heroin is real big here in VA. And they'll suck your dick for $10. They sure will.
Damn.
Them damn fentanyl and heroin motherfuckers, they will suck your dick for $2. I kid your ass not. Them damn, especially them fentanyl users, they don't give a fuck.
Well, you better not go nowhere near them. I mean, I wouldn't be talking about having no sex with none of them. I mean, really.
Yeah, well,
they probably eased up. You know,
well, what's the racial population of y'all? I know Memphis. They say is so-called majority black. So I guess that's why. When you said Philly is majority, what would you say racial population? Did they say racial population? Mostly white.
It's about 55, 45 or so. You know, something like that. Mm. But I think they would say the whites are. They have a few more whites than blacks.
I know some people here on fentanyl, though. I know fentanyl is here, too, but because, like, one of Dave's favorite groups, what's her name? Gangsta Boo died, fentanyl. I know somebody else, major pop. I know another guy we used to work with. He was on that fentanyl. So it is here, but we don't see that like that, like, you know, y'all, because we don't even see a lot of them. We do see a lot of homeless, but not like we're seeing, like, we saw in Philly. In them tent cities, like, you know, y'all having, you know, we might see somebody under the bridge. So we do see them under the bridge and sitting on, like, every intersection. You might see somebody out there asking for money and stuff, but not the tent city type things. But I'm seeing in, you know, what's that city? I can't even think. Not San Diego. Goddamn, San Francisco. And I can't even think of the damn name. I want to say it, but Brother V, and I can't even think of the damn name of the city now. Oakland, that's it. Oakland and places like that. Mm-hmm. We don't have that here. Thank God Almighty, but that we got enough craziness. But damn, it's
Well, I wanted to touch on the topics that we have here before us tonight, and so you know, there's several questions. I don't know how we can handle them. Maybe we can touch them one at a time.
Yeah, I mean, just whichever one you want to touch on. I just threw them in there. You know, I just always throw something in there just for somebody want to, you know, comment on or something. But go ahead and throw in what you want.
I mean, should American citizens be worried about how the country is turning out?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so, you know, that relates to, is there a reason to be concerned about the crime?
And I mean, so, everything.
you know, the answer to them questions is yes and yes. And so, you know, the crime that we see is something that is so crucial right now at the time we living in, because there's so many people that don't have permits and haven't had training, but they do have guns. And a lot of them are very young, and they have a connection to get guns. And they get them, and they tote them, and I see them here. They got them in the little Merces. So everybody got a Merce. More than likely, it's packing. That's a male purse. It's more like a holster. But I see a lot of people with them. And I know that, logically speaking, to me, that's where you would keep your peace. And most of them keep it pretty close to where, you know, they can reach in. And why would a man have a purse in the first place?
Yeah.
So it's more like a holster. It's really a holster, because I see people and they have the whole persona and the whole makeup of profile of a person who's toting a weapon and could be possibly dangerous to you if you, you know, get out of pocket with them. So at any rate, crime is very, very, very off the hook at this point. And so people don't know how to troubleshoot and figure out how we can bring it in or hone it in and turn it around, because we could talk about crime and all the shootings and killings, and it's a whole lot of them from these young people. And I always say what's going in between their ears is what's fueling their soul.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, also what they see is the images before them that also makes them want to fit a certain narrative of how they're going to live their life. So if they hear drill music and drill music affirms negativity throughout every song, and if you watch movies, and most movies people watch are violent, and if you watch these movies, then you're going to have this attitude that you're going to be hardcore and you're going to don't give a care about nobody else, and that if somebody do something to you, you're going to kill them. Because every movie teaches you that. Every drill song tells you that. So now, at this day and time, without black families, a mother and a father, or even just a mother, taking her child to church every Sunday just to get some grounding of faith and some grounding of moral virtues, you know, understanding of God, and that you should be doing the good things and not the bad things, and it'll show you right from wrong and stuff like that. So these children, they don't get that, because there's not a whole lot of parents that are taking their children just to simply go to church to ground you into how you bring a child up so that, you know, a certain way so that they don't go apart, and when they get older that they, you know, y'all know the verses. Please, you know, one of y'all can say it correctly for me, but you know what I mean.
I know what you're talking about,
So you raise up a child, you know, Chief Rabbi, help me out on this.
In the way that he or she should go, and they would never depart from it.
Okay, and there, so thank you very much. And so as if you, okay, so it works the opposite as well. You raise up a child, and so you don't put any virtues in there. You don't offer any guidance of goodness.
That's Proverbs 22:6.
Yes, sir. Okay. Appreciate it.
I'm trying to say here to try to make it short about the opposite way of that is that if you don't ground your child that way, that once your child gets older and you didn't ground them that way and they only grew up with the drill music and watching negative and violent movies, then they're going to end up growing up like that more than likely, right? I'm not sure. I'm just saying. Like, even if they get a chance to change their life later, but they still might end up in that same boat of people that never got any grounding of, do what you want for yourself as you would for your brother. You know, that's saying too. Y'all can put that one out there because I don't have it all like you guys have.
You good. You good. We know what you're talking about, though. One. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, if you do that, and then instead of, okay, you feel like since the drill music that tells you, like, the only people that's really your friend is your immediate friends that's around you, and then you still got to watch them. But everybody else is truly your enemy, and nobody else is your friend, and that everybody you kind of hate everybody. There's nobody you care about except for your couple friends, your family, and that's it. Like, the rest of the world, you know, they give them the middle finger. So that it works the opposite when you ground it in at least church. Then you have a, you know, if you ground it in church, you're going to have a love for fellow man and everything like that. Even if it's another race or whatever, church will ground you to teach you, like, it's not about, you know, hatred towards anybody else and everything. It's about love and like that. So it don't teach you to be racist and all like that or hate other people because they're a different kind, a different race, or, you know, black or white or Chinese. Go ahead, Chief.
Can I say something? I'm going to rebuke that bullshit you just said. A lot of these damn, and Aria, you already know how I am about a lot of these messianics.
Justin, yeah.
I love you. I love you, Justice. But PK, as I should say, PK or preacher's kids are the worst motherfuckers out here. They're the worst ones. I'm just putting out a IAMs Muslim kids, MKs Muslim kids, PK preachers kids, JK Jewish kids. These are the worst motherfuckers out there, Justice.
Yeah. Sorry, hold on. Wait. Let me defend them.
Now, let me say something. No. I understand what you're saying about if you teach them right, training them up. But a lot of times, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to say something personally, because I used to practice Sunni Islam, and Maura Arya, you can attest to this too. I'm going to tell you something. Back when I used to practice Sunni Islam, I used to go to the mosque where the Middle Easterns would go. And I would always wonder why I don't see none of their kids in the mosque. Why I don't see none of these Middle Easterns kids in the mosque. I would go to some of these Israelite camps. How come I don't see some of their kids in the camps?
Damn.
I'm going to tell you something. Them motherfuckers be out there in the streets worse than damn kids that don't grow up with no damn religion. And I'm being honest with you, Justice. So sometimes church and all of what the hell niggas need. Sometimes teach them more, they can turn the opposite.
Well, I got two things. I got two things with that one. I'm gonna help you out just a little bit. I got two things on that. Well, one thing church. We say church. I would say, I'm going to say all religious centers. I ain't going to just beat up on church. But I'm going to mostly say church because we'll talk about what's majority in so-called the black American in our communities. So church. So I will say church. I use church. The church does not teach the same value system or have that same stronghold as it once were long time ago. The church is something else. The church is off the train. I listen to certain, like Pastor Wooten. I like Pastor Wooten and him and it's another brother, the Smart Christian. They have a YouTube channels. And they talk about all the bad behaviors that they're seeing from a lot of these churches, especially coming out, they say, coming out of Atlanta now. And certain things that they're doing is off the Richter scale, man. It's crazy. It's not like the churches of old. Well, they, like I said, everything that happened in the black community was the church was the centerpiece of it. I mean, everything. Then nothing go down without the church being involved. It's like the pastor really was like, he was that mediator. Y'all remember that movie, Original Gangster, and that dude named, what was his name, Walter Winfield or Paul Winfield, that played Dr. King. He was the pastor, and they used to go to him to, you know, organize everything. Between the gangs and the community. That's how the church were. You know, we look back. That's why you see back in the day that mostly everybody who were a part of the civil rights movement were pastors, reverends. They was clergy. But so the church don't have that same that same structure like it once did. It's now it's more about prosperity and everything. It's not really teaching values anymore. You know, we did, we kind of grew up with that fire and brimstone. I know I did, kind of like a fire and brimstone type preacher. Like I said, man, you were scared. You thought, they said smoking a cigarette was a sin. Damn, that jaywalking you thought was a sin. It was like a lot of things you wouldn't do because you thought it was a sin. You don't have that anymore. So even, like I said, the churches now are conforming, as they might say in the Christian church. They conform into the world now. It's a lot of things that's going on in the church, brother, that shouldn't even be allowed in the church. So the church don't have that same value, and they're not teaching that same value. But another end, Dave, I was listening to the gospel singer Ty Trippett, and he spoke on something. You was him and Charlamagne. Now, I don't like the Breakfast Club, but I was listening to people talking about his interview and people critiquing Ty Trippett's interview. So I decided to listen to it, and he made an excellent point. And people always say this, that, you know, man, you know, the preacher children are the worst ones. And what they brought that up, and what he said, they said that, you think about it, he said, yes, yeah, sometimes they do, because when you basically force something on these children, they start to rebel. You think about a lot of them children, they have to go like, shit, you know, black church. Ooh, man, going to black church on Sunday, it was like going to goddamn work. You might as well go to work some damn well. Because, you know, you be at church, they had, like he was saying, man, they have Sunday morning service. You there about damn near 6 hours. Then they got to get evening service. You go back, you know, Wednesday, you go back. Man, it was going back for so many days.
That's it's how like we a did. Lot of, that's how my mama was.
See that? And so a lot of that is like it's been forced. When it's forced on you, you like a lot of the children, they tend to rebel. It's like, that's why I've learned whatever. Yeah, see that? That's what it's saying. So like, if you give, you want to, like I said, that's why I said, train up a child in which way you should go. That's not, that was from Solomon, but you want to train them and give them more and teach them. That whole part is just teaching them about behaviors, how to deal with people fairly and, you know, different things that you want to teach them that. Now, that don't mean that these children are not going to go bad and do something bad, but you still want to train them up and give them the best of morals you can. Like, we are all individuals. We all have our own individual minds. Like I said, like my mother, I always say that my mother and my father them gave me home training. Like people say home training. They instilled that in me. But I decided that I, because I'm an individual, wanted to do what the hell I wanted to do. So we all are individuals, no matter what somebody try to tell you. Sometimes we just choose to do what we want to do. Sometimes it's because we see what's like a lot of things is going on now. We see what society says do, and it look good because, You know, like you're seeing what's on TikTok. That's it. That look cool. That look cool. What they say is trending. So we want to follow the trend. Even though you've been told don't do that, like all them sugar challenges, people, I mean, what was that cinnamon challenge people were doing, all that ignorant stuff, people still do it because they follow trend. So it's a lot of things as we have at individuals that we, and no matter, it's like me, myself, when I say this, me and my wife, I'm supposed to be doing an interview with, what we're going to do is have a sit down with her. I wanted her to do. My wife is not, she don't, I won't say here, let me see how to put it. I don't really claim saying I'm Israelite no more. I don't really say that. But far as saying Israel or Torah only, my wife still, she'll go to church. She know what all I teach. She know I talk about Paul, the Jesus thing. She know that, but she still go to church. Do I force anything on it? And that's why I want her to come on and do the on the Liberation Tabernacle on the YouTube. I don't force nothing on her. I tell her, hey, that's you. It's between you. And she acknowledges, she said it most high, but she know. I don't force nothing because hell, when I met her, neither one of us was in, neither one of us was really into the Bible. So I grew into it, and there's no way now I should force it on her. You know what I'm saying? Because hell, I wasn't into it when I met her. I was actually Nawabian when I met her. So she accepted me with my damn flaws. So even when I grow, I'm not supposed to try to force my way on her because that a lot of things we turn people away trying to force it on them. Yes. Give it to, like I said, plant a seed and let it water. But don't we force stuff on people. And yes, then they reject it, throw it back. It's just like with all this shit, they trying to, excuse my language, y'all, but excuse me, like what they're trying to force on our, on us as American citizens now, all of this foolishness they're trying to force on us. But they tell you got the freedom of, you got freedom. But like, okay, we'll say what they call it, I heard this white guy just say the sticky pokey. Y'all know the vaccine. They said, well, you got a freedom, but they was forcing it on you. If you don't get the sticky pokey, you're going to lose your job. You're going to do this here. You can't do that. Like, goddamn, what happened to my choice? What happened to my choice? And then when all those people in New York and all those places lost their jobs because they chose not to get the goddamn vaccine. And then they, you know, later on, they, you know, came out with some other bull. Well, you know, so you can't force nothing. Allow the people to choose. You know, I know certain things, we that's like law. I mean, it's like the Torah. And I like to say it. I'm going to let y'all go ahead right fast. But it's even like the Torah. The Most High really don't make you do nothing. You have to, just people say free will. It's like you got a choice. You have a choice. Either you can do this. You can follow my rules. You can follow my Torah. You can follow my commandments, or you don't have to. Because if you don't, but that's going to be consequences. Not to say you're going to go, because see, the Torah don't teach. Here's what we said, what y'all call OKA, I mean Tanakh, okay, a.k.a. Old Testament, which y'all call Old Testament. Tanakh don't teach y'all going to go to hell if you don't believe the Most High. That's Christianity teach you that. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. If you don't follow God, you're going to hell. Y'all know the Old Testament don't teach that, which y'all call the Old Testament. Tanakh and Judaism don't teach that. It's like if you don't follow some rules of life, it's certain things that possibly could have. I ain't going to say it all. Like eating pork. You possibly could get high blood. You probably can get high blood pressure. Like that's why some people, hey, I've been eating pork all my life. Ain't nothing happened. See, hey, you just roll the dice and it just happened. But see, that's not everybody. I don't. I'm going to tell you why. It ain't even if I didn't read the Bible and I said where it said don't eat pork. I won't eat it because why? I know I do get high blood pressure. My damn blood pressure go out the frame. So I tell people, hey, it ain't just because the Bible just said it. I understand why it says it. Because it can give you hypertension and get you so, what's that? That's a worm that said, I can't think of the name of that damn worm, the technical name. That's a worm that's in the pork. They said it goes up your spine, goes into your brain. There you go. See, things like that. So that's why you see in the Bible it says don't do this, because there are so certain reasons why, consequences and certain things you have. But you can do it. But you know, my Bible might say it's a curse. And some of the curses might say it's actually be health reasons. That'd be the curse. See, you got to understand the technical. I don't want to get too technical on that. But, yeah, it's individual. So, yeah, you do have, you know, children who grew up. And the pastors and stuff, they rebel because sometimes it's how you present it to them. You force them to do this. And it's not, you know, you're not just letting them grow into it on their own because they see you probably doing it. And like, damn, I want to do that. I didn't force nothing on my children. I don't force my son them to I was in Islam. I didn't force them to do none of the stuff I do. Or man, you better do this here. No, don't do that. I would like to be an example and then let them grow into it. Like so my wife, I don't force, but she will tell you, and she gonna tell y'all on the video when we get ready to do it. One thing I do tell her though, you need to study. Now that I do. You need to study. You need to study. That's it. I don't tell her what to study, how to study. I just say, you need to study. Man, cut that doggone TV off and study. That's about it. But telling her what she need to be studying is, you need to, I don't do that. Because, like, I tell her, hey, that's your soul. If you choose to, I'm just saying like that, worship Jesus, that's on you. I'm not your creator. That's on you. I ain't got nothing to do with that. So I'm not going to force you, because later on down the line, she could, you know, possibly, hell, I was Nawabi. I was Christian. I was, hell, Nawabian. I was damn Islam. I was this. I was that. I evolve. I change as I keep studying and researching. I change. I evolve. And one thing I'm going to say this here about give praise and honor to my grandmama. When my grandma was, she was a diehard Christian. When I went and to jail and I accepted Islam, I came out. I told y'all this story before. I thought my grandma was going to probably be upset because I knew how much was a Christian. Jesus this and Jesus on the wall and all this type of stuff. But my grandma didn't say. My grandmama said, like I told y'all, because my uncle was out there wilding out. And she seen how I used to be in the street and I changed my behavior. And my grandmama told me, she said, I don't know what Muhammad teach y'all, but you need to teach your uncle. She didn't tell me I need to teach my uncle about Jesus. She was just talking about how she seen the behavior, how my behavior changed. I wasn't no longer doing the things I did. And when she said that, you need to teach your uncle. I don't know what Muhammad teach y'all. She talked about that discipline. But you need to teach your uncle. I was like, damn, I got her stamp of approval. I said, man, that was, I just thought she was going to, I never talked to her about it, but I just thought that she was going to be disappointed. You ain't with Jesus. My grandmama never said nothing. Even my grandmama, before she died, she always said, I always be the prayer person of the family. And my grandmama used to always want to hear me pray. Now, I wasn't even a Christian, though, but she always wanted to hear me pray. And she was like, I love to hear that boy pray. Girl, I love to hear when he come over here and do the prayer and so on. And they knew I didn't do the holidays, none of that. But she always said. So I was proud of that. So we can't force people to accept none of this stuff. Don't force it on them. Feed it. Give me. Plant your seeds. Plant your seeds, yes. But all that forcing stuff, you're going to turn a lot of damn people away. That's why a lot of the Israelites, people don't listen to them damn Israelites on the corner and shit. Y'all turn people away, all that old ignorant ass cussing at them and all that old other stuff. And come on, y'all, that ain't the way you do it. That's why some people actually say it. It's their presentation and how they doing stuff. So even with America, what they're doing, they're forcing this stuff on American people. Nah, let us accept it on our way. Hell, you said we got the freedom. Let us have the freedom of choice to choose this or choose that. Like y'all forcing this stuff on children, this homosexual agenda. And this is our children. These are our children. If we say, no, we don't want our children learning this stuff, you don't have the damn right to force this on our children, because most of the people who forcing this stuff on these children, they don't even have children. They don't even have children. I bet you, I would be willing to bet that. I won't even gamble. But I bet you a lot of these people that's pushing all this homosexual agenda inside of these school system with these books and all that stuff don't have children. But they want to push this on our children. Transgender bathrooms, all this craziness. Come on now. That's why I'm saying tonight, are we, as American citizens, should we be worried about the way this country is turning out? Damn right, I'm concerned. Even as a black man, whatever y'all want to say, I don't give a damn about the racism and all that bullshit, because I'm still here in America. I was born here in America. No matter what we say, our ancestors descended here, whatnot, goddammit, I was born here. Been here. I have a lot of stuff invested here. I It's all my investment, my time is here. My children are here. My grandchildren are here. I don't know if we plan on going. I don't know if we're going to play to go nowhere, because hell, I damn sure ain't finna go to Haiti. Y'all see what's happening in Haiti? Y'all see what's happening? Do I go to Africa? You see what's happening in the Sudan over there? Y'all see what's happening in the Congo? So hell, I ain't too gung-ho to go run over to Africa and the shit Sudan and even talking about going to Israel. You see how they treating the people of Beta Israel over there, the Ethiopian Jews over there? So come on. So we got shit is happening everywhere, crazy. Everywhere. Haiti, that's black on black over there. The Sudan, that's black on black. Congo, them black on black over there. So we got to look at this stuff, brother and sister, man. We got to get it together, man. But, yeah, we got to stand up and fight the good fight. And I'm going to let y'all go ahead, and I'm going to say something about, I had a thing I thought about. People talk about they hope Trump win. I got to do this, well, bow tie. But I'm going to say it. I'm going to let y'all go ahead, though. I really, you know, I said the last time, I hope he don't. You know, I said that before because I need the people to learn. I'm going to say it one more time. I hope he don't. We need one more time for him not to win. Let these diabolical bastards stay in there one more again. Because the people ain't learned yet. The people ain't, no, they ain't learned yet. They ain't learned yet. Because they need to keep on going through these troubling times for them to learn. And so maybe they can start standing up. See, we don't need no superheroes. We don't need no superheroes. I ain't saying Trump is no goddamn superhero, y'all, but we don't need no damn superhero. We don't need the American people to stand up. So y'all looking for Trump as damn like he's Superman, Spider-Man, Aquaman. He's going to come and say today, you know, say Superman, here he come. No, we don't need that. They need to go through something because a lot of blacks out here still on these radio stations and stuff. They ain't learned yet. They still talking about white supremacists, Donald Trump bring white supremacists. I just seen NAACP. One of the leaders in NAACP talking about fascism, I mean, Nazism part two. Still on that ignorant stuff. Talking about when Donald Trump get back in there, it's going to be Nazism part two. But the goddamn big Nazi in the goddamn White House already by the name of Joe Biden. But ain't nobody, they ain't saying that. So, again, no, he don't need to get in there. Let them come on. Let the Democrats keep running it. And we need the people like Elijah Muhammad said. It need that 98% of what he said, 98% before we get this, 98% dissatisfaction brings on 100%. No, who is it? 98% or 85%, one of them like that, y'all, will bring on a 100% satisfaction. The people aren't dissatisfied enough yet. We don't have enough dissatisfaction in American people for the change to come. We need this, goddamn it, 95%. So we can bring on 100% change. The people ain't dissatisfied enough yet. So, no, we don't need Donald Trump in there. No. Democrats, come on. Steal election again. Oh, did I say that out loud? Yeah. Steal election. Do what the hell you want to do. Steal the motherfucker one more time. Keep on doing what you're doing so the American people can get fed up finally and stand the hell up as a unit and stop all this ignorant shit. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take it where it's going to have to get so damn bad in this country that the American people are going to finally see that, hey, they're going to finally see who these enemies are and rise up against the goddamn enemy. And that's what it's going to take. That's why I say, nope, don't. I hope he don't. I need it to get real bad. And I know I said, y'all, I got to go through it, too. I'm willing, goddammit. I'm willing to go through it. Because people, we keep talking to people, talking to our people, talking. A lot of people don't learn from just talking. They got to go through it. So our people going to have to go through it. And then we can get some changes. Until then, nah, we need to keep going through. We need some hard times up in this motherfucker like Curtis Mayfield said. Yes, sir. But I yield.
Okay. I just want to go back to the preacher's children and they being the worst and all of that. I disagree, Chief Rabbi. You know, there's some cases of reverend's children turning out bad, but then there are cases of them turning out just fine. And so that's not really something you can indict every preacher's child to say that they're going to turn out bad or do things that are bad, because they all don't. The church that I used to attend as a child, the pastor there, he died about 60 years old, and his son took over and became the pastor, and he was a bishop over all the churches, you know, all the churches under his denomination and whatnot, or whatever. And then his son actually became the bishop as well. And everyone in their family stayed pretty close to, you know, the church and everything. Now, like Sunray was saying earlier, it's not like it used to be. And even his son isn't a dynamic preacher like his father was. And so for that point or that matter, he doesn't attract the members that his father did. And his father had a whole lot of people, you know, at the church and constantly growing and growing. And so they had to build a couple of churches because they kept filling the churches up to where people were standing around every Sunday, and then they would build another church, and it would be even bigger and hold up even more people. And then after the coronavirus and them keeping people from going to church and all that, then people stopped going, and now they're not going to a whole lot of churches now like they used to. And, it, you know, maybe it's because the preacher isn't as exciting as his father used to be, or the whole coronavirus thing made people not trust God anymore, and they'd rather trust the so-called scientists. So people, they kind of, I don't know if they've been duped from believing in God and trusting God to, you know, fix all the problems like they used to in the church, because they used to pray and pray everything away, or any problem, everybody get together, they would pray, and it seemed like a miracle would happen. But now they don't seem to have that kind of strength and faith to where they trust God anymore, and they'd rather listen to somebody to say, put a mask on and take this shot and, you know, threaten you into doing something and corner you or making you feel like you're wrong if you believe different than what they believe or are suggesting. And so if God said for you to not do this or that, but then the government or the media or whoever's presenting something to you that's suggesting that, you know, you got to do something that goes against your will or your faith, then you got to do it anyway. So now, okay, they're doing away with God and your beliefs in God and everything. Now they're saying, no, believe in man. Don't believe in God. Don't trust God. Trust man. So who became the God of the people under the coronavirus? It was Dr. Fauci. That was everybody's Jesus. That was everybody's God, because they were all listening to him flip-flop every day and still believe him and still go with whatever he said, no matter what he said. But when God says something, he don't change what he say, but y'all run away from that. But Dr. Fauci can change what he say every day, and you just stick with him anyway. So it's all ridiculous. So, you know, on that notion of, you know, of the preacher's children and all this, and not having trust in God. So that's what's going on in the country, and that's what's wrong with this question tonight. You know, should American citizens be worried about how the country is turning out? And we should, because God ain't nowhere in the picture. When he used to be.
Yes, sir.
God used to be the number one thing, you know, for everybody. Every Sunday, somebody was going to church. Everybody was going, at least most of the people, was doing something that had to do with worshiping God. in some kind of way. If it was you as a Muslim or whatever you are, you was doing something like that. Now everything has been contaminated by what? Satan. Okay? Because people believe, they don't believe in God. If they did, they wouldn't be duped by Satan, because Satan tricked them. But that's the job that they said Satan was going to do, right there in Genesis, I think. What they say, Satan will deceive the whole world. So, yeah.
The very elect.
Say that again?
They said the very elect, or some people said the elite. What is it? Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, we should be concerned and worried because, look, yeah, when I was growing up and even, you know, through the 80s too, people treated people better. People didn't look at each other so sinister. You know, people had more love in their hearts. Yes, so... That's just what I see. What you got on that, Chief Rabbi?
Yes, sir. What it said, the love is gone.
Hey, brother. So I was hearing what you were saying about that. You know, and you're right, Justice. At one time, people did have more love for each other. But when we also got to look at this shit. When we're getting into black people, you know, used to have love for each other and all that. We got to also look at, you know, the times too. Like you were saying, even back then, black folks, you got to realize, black, they actually had grandparents back then. If your ass back in the day went over somebody's house and grandma had on a damn mini skirt, some damn leggings, that was dressed like damn gorilla, something was wrong. You look at grandmothers now, they ain't got no more grandmothers. My grandmother raised me my whole damn life. My whole damn life till the day she died. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. She was 93 years old when she died. Born in 1921. Granddad was born in 1919. I couldn't imagine seeing my grandmother with no damn leggings on, throwing that ass on no videos. I'm being serious. You look at grandmothers nowadays. Grandmothers is on OnlyFans.
Yo, man. Lord have mercy.
OMG.
Grandmothers is on OnlyFans. Ain't no grandmothers no more. Ain't no fucking grandmas no more. Real talk, come on, Justin. You know, ain't no, you say, you know, and I will co-sign that with you, that back in the day, they had some more structure. But this ain't back in the day, Justice. This ain't back in the day. This ain't back in the days. And then, is your grandma really your grandma? Or is she your granddaddy? Because we look at Caitlyn Jenner. Shit, Caitlyn Jenner said she a grandma. Yeah.
Well, I know some grandmas these days, they toxic. And they toxic to their grandchildren. And a lot of them are masculinely toxic to their grandchildren. And they say the most absurd things to their grandchildren and teach their grandchildren the worst things about womanhood because they don't really know womanhood the way they're supposed to. And they are the poorest examples of being a grandmother to their grandchildren that they can be. It's the worst time that we're living in. It's not back in the day. It's now. It's in the present. And a lot of these grandmothers are filthy and trashy, and they're teaching their grandkids to be that way, and not even in front of their daughters. When they're babysitting, that's when they're destroying that grandchild, because they couldn't do that around the daughter. The daughter wouldn't allow the mother of her to do that to her daughter in her presence. But when that grandmother got that child by herself, she's teaching that child to be most ignorant as it can be. Sure is.
So lives.
Yes,
show lives. So
and
yeah. Justice.
Go ahead,
so
Dave.
Yeah, that time is over, Justice.
Yeah.
That time is over. Ain't no more real grandma. So
But
yeah,
it shouldn't be
why,
though, Dave. That's the problem. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be over. See, that's the problem. What we're talking about, it shouldn't be. Because I'm gonna say why here. Because you say, well, we're not in the past no more. And here's what you're saying. A lot of people say this. Well, that was back then. Okay, we understand we evolve and time change, but that don't mean you give up your morals. You give up the values system that was instilled in you. So when we're getting away from the past, we're leaving everything back there, the morals and the values that we was giving. We leaving all that in there and going into this new thing and leaving everything, packing everything up, putting it in the attic. And that's the problem that I'm having. Understand, I like technology. I know I like the technology now, but I'm not giving up my values and my morals to have this damn technology. No, I got to keep that. But I can change some things. I can move some certain things around. That's why I would say it again. That's why I always tell y'all when I say I'm conservative. You go in and learn what a conservative. I'm about my tradition. I'm about my values, especially traditional. I ain't too quick to change my traditional value, my traditions too much. I know there's certain things I got to move. Like when I did the show or the class I was talking about in the Torah, that we don't do that slavery no more. We don't sell our daughters. That's why I talked about that. That was in the past. We don't do those. That was a culture of the land way back then. Everybody was doing it. Kind of some chattel slavery or whether it indigenous servitude. We don't do those type of things no more. But my values and my moral, I'm not giving that up. Because that's why I can learn how, like I said, love my brother, love my sister, how to treat people fair. I'm not giving that up. Look out for the poor, those who are less fortunate than me. I'm not giving those type of values up just because we say time change. And that's why some people, they're so stone hearted. They only care about it. That's even in the so-called New Testament. I think Paul even said that. I ain't no Paul person, but he even said that. So I can agree with everything Paul said, though. Hell, he right on that. But people become lovers of selves. They can become lovers of selves. Truth is truth. Yeah, I mean, that was the truth, what he said on that. People will become lovers of selves. And that's what's happening. I don't care about nobody else. I'm trying to get mine. Damn them. And that's what it is. People have become so selfish. And like I said, you go back in the time when we talk about back in the past. Like, I remember when we were standing on this street, a lady had some children. She come down there. Hey, my mama said, they all boy. It's so funny all the time. My mama said, can they borrow some sugar? My mama said, she borrow some Kool-Aid? My mama said, she borrow two slices of bread or something. She get a... I mean, you would come borrow stuff. Hell, like I said, if you didn't have the sugar, I might have some Kool-Aid. Yeah, I'm going to give you some sugar. Hey, can you give me a pack of that Kool-Aid? We both got some Kool-Aid. Back then, that was a thing back then, Kool-Aid. It's something. You got the, Chris Tucker, you got peanut butter. I got the jelly. Let's put the good guy. We both got some sandwiches. That's how it worked.
Right.
Now everybody's so damn selfish.
Y'all got two slices of cheese?
There you go. I got some bologna. Dave, you got the bread.
All right.
Shit, we all finna eat.
Can I get a stick of butter?
That ain't like that. Everybody's selfish now. And so those are the type
of
values that we have given up by saying we not in the past. some things we got to just hold on to. Hell, especially like, I think Alpha Male said that, especially when it worked. Why are we giving up things like that, especially when it worked? It's like sometimes people always, I remember hearing this before. This ain't my idea. People said this before. We trying to come up with all these damn new ideas and come up with these new suggestions. How are we going to do that? When we had things, programs and stuff that did work. Like I said, look at brother Marcus Mazzan Garvey. Look at his movement. Like, he had no damn internet. And look how they galvanized and people did stuff. Even back then, we always talk about the famous wall, Black Wall Street, Rosewood, all these people, how they did things. I mean, damn, and now we supposed to be so goddamn free today, and we as so-called blacks don't even have nothing like they had. And they supposed to have been in the thick of slavery and oppression. Something wrong with this picture. Something totally wrong with this picture. But I want to play one little small quick clip right fast. Well, folks out there, man, I just want to play this one here. Yeah, let's see if anybody going to take heed to this. Check this out.
Now, let me say something right quick. I think back on the African-American people in America. I think how that they were taken.
Now, let me play this. Let me back this up. Now, this is what y'all call European, a.k.a. white preacher. I just want to put that out there.
Now, let me say something right quick. I think back on the African-American people in America. I think how that they were taken against their wills, put in the belly of ships, brought over here, beat, cussed. Many of them died in the guts of those ships, thrown overboard. They were pulled from families over there. You ain't never heard a gut-wrenching song. You hear a black person sing one of those old black Negro spirituals. Nobody knows. I can't sing it like that, see, because I hadn't experienced what they be. When you've experienced hell, it comes out of the voice. I say, when you experience hell, it comes out of the voice. If you're one of those people that you got problem with black people or whatever, you better shut your mouth, because they're God's people. You better hear what I'm saying to you. You better shut your white mouth. You better shut your white mouth. I'm not kidding you. I know some of you was raised in the Deep South and you was raised by prejudiced people and bigoted people. You better get that out of your system. You better get it out of your system. It'll cause you to suffer right along with those masters. It'll cause you to suffer right along with them. These are God's people. And I know that there's wicked in white races and wicked in black races and all that. I'm not justifying none of that stuff. I'm just saying God knows what happened to the black race. He knows how they wound up over here. And God is going to reimburse the black people for all their trouble and all their labor. You watch what I tell you. Watch what I tell you.
Wow.
Listen.
That's a church full of so-called white folk. I just had to play that one. Yes, sir.
Wow. That's pretty impressive for him to say something like that. Like, he has some insight on something that a lot of people don't know about. So, yeah, I thought I liked that.
That's it. It's funny to shut y'all white mouth like that.
Yeah, that was decent. Yeah, that was something else. I was like, man, he going hard.
Yes, sir. And that's a church. There was a church full of so-called white folk that did too. But hey, man, some people know, man. They know the truth. But
He hurt some of them. I know they horns went up on their head. Some of them, they was like, oh, wait a minute here. No, I don't know.
Yes, sir. And that's why we know what we look at when we talk about stuff today. Man, I think about the opportunities that we have today. That's just me. My mind be there. I look at the opportunities we have today that our ancestors didn't have these opportunities. Man, I don't know where they at, you know, how, but they just be looking at us today. If they can look down at us or wherever they at, around sideways at us, and like, man, y'all are missing out on a lot of opportunities. If we would have had the chance to do the things that y'all do, you have today. Man, it's like, Most High, can I go back down there? Let me go back. I'm gonna show them how to do it. Let me go back down there again. Boy, I wish I had a chance to do what y'all got today. You know, it's like, I don't know, brother. It's like, we gotta get it right, you know, because especially like a lot of stuff we've been complaining about, we don't want to do this, I don't want to work for this little money, but y'all going to see. And them people they bringing in, like I said, I ain't say they coming in on their own, they bringing a lot of these people in. You're going to wish you had took advantage of some of these opportunities when you had a chance. All this nagging about this and nagging about that bull crap, this and that plan, that yeah. I can keep telling y'all too the same time. White folks have been fooled and tricked as well. Yeah, what I mean is white folks have been fooled and tricked as well with that racism foolishness. They have been lied to by other so-called white folk as well with that foolish stuff, making them think they superior. They have been lied to, tricked with that ignorant stuff. They have a sickness with that ignorant stuff, man. You ain't no better than nobody because of your skin complexion. That don't make you no better than nobody else. You know, it don't. Your goddamn high school diploma, I mean, your college degree, that don't make you no better than nobody else. You just went to goddamn hell. I don't even have that, but I bet you I know a lot more than some goddamn people that went to college. Hell, I've been in and have positions where I was over people who had high school degrees and damn college degrees, but I'm their goddamn boss. So that don't, you know, and then they know nothing about nothing. They didn't know nothing about nothing, but you got all these damn degrees. Like, I remember somebody said, you got all this wall, and I'm not making fun of nobody who went to college, y'all. That's not what I'm doing. But they got these nice little wallpaper certificates on their wall. It look good hanging on the wall. But what you got in your head? But what do you have in your head? And do you know how to apply the knowledge? That's what counts. I don't have all them lavish degrees and stuff, you know, but I got some certificates that I've earned, hell, doing radio and all that stuff, podcasting, but hell, I ain't got that, but I know what I got in my damn head, though. And the cold part about it, like the sad part about it, what we're saying, like we even having these discussions, should Americans and citizens be worried about how this country is turning out? Let me tell you the cold part about this is, like, we've been having a lot of discussions at work sometime on stuff. And when you even talk to some of our own people and trying to make them aware about some of the things that's happening, they seem like they get mad at you and upset because you're trying to make them aware about these things that's going on. People like Elijah Muhammad said in the book, Sport and Play, that some of our people are so goddamn concerned about sport and play. You trying to tell them about how these jobs are going out. Hold on to what you have because you're not, it's no certainty about if you're going to have this job tomorrow or that tomorrow. Hell, whether you're 401k, you're going to have money in your 401k. There's no certainty. There's none of this stuff. So be careful. Hold on, you know, but they don't want to, they still rather talk about what happened and who got traded and the goddamn Dallas Cowboys, who got, you know, what's happening in the NBA, the damn NCAA championship, some stuff that don't matter at all to nobody. It's just irrelevant to your life. I mean, your damn lights get cut off in your damn house because you ain't going to be able to watch no goddamn game and that's not going to concern you. Your children don't care. I tell you, like I said this, my children when they was little, I said, my responsibility is to make sure food in their refrigerator because they know it's a refrigerator and food's supposed to be in there. When they go in there, they think the refrigerator automatically come with food. They don't know how I got there and how it's, but they just know when they go in there, it's supposed to open it up, so I'm supposed to be in there to eat. So it was our job as parents to make sure we provide for our children. And make sure we try to educate them in the right way and protect what goes in their head. Like Justin was talking about the music. But, you know, sometimes they get that outside influence, but we still got to protect their minds and stand up for what is going on. And I say this, I want to let y'all get into it too, brother. There's this video I saw where some children somewhere at a school board, they was reading letters, talk about, they was speaking out against these transgender bathrooms and talk about it was a young girl. She thinks she was like 15 and now 14 and 15 years old. It's like, I don't feel safe. She's like, I'm 14 years old. I have no business seeing a boy's penis. Because she's talking about the boy, he's so-called trans in the girl's bathroom. She said, I have no business seeing the male anatomy of no man's or no boy's penis at the age of 14. That's what she was saying. It was going in. And they was even telling the school board, y'all need to step down. Because y'all do not have our interest as children at heart. Y'all need to step down. These are 14, 15-year-olds.
Yeah, that's pretty profound. Mm-hmm.
And I would have to say, Joseph, I got to play the race card. You know how they say play the race card? These were European children, what y'all call European or white children. Now, do we see these same things? I'm not saying it don't happen somewhere, but I'm going to say what I hadn't seen, so I can make sure I stand clear for record. I don't see a lot of the things, but I see the videos and other things and hear about on radios where we see our people having these concerns and voicing their concerns of things of this nature. Like I said, they down there right now. Well, they're probably over with now. I'm not sure. Got black ass children down there. They talk about your Second Amendment rights. Teaching, yeah, you have your Second Amendment rights. But they down there protesting. All because this European dude who down there, who now, mind you, he was found not guilty for shooting those people. They, you know, when that Black Lives Matter rally was going on, he was found not guilty. So they down there still, and they was Black Lives Matter people who got shot too. They would have been violent as hell. Black Lives Matter, ain't been no goddamn peaceful people with their radical asses. They Marxist ass. But they down there protested because he want to tell the truth about how Black Lives Matter is a lie. Black Lives Matter, the slogan sounds good, but at the core value of what Black Lives Matter is about, it ain't got a damn thing to do with black lives, unless you are homosexual, I will say that. And that really ain't even got there because they don't care. It ain't about black lives. If it is about black lives, why y'all not talk about black babies being aborted? Huh? Oh, I forgot. The Democrats want black babies to die. They want babies to die. They fighting against, for babies to get murdered. I forgot. They fighting against abortion. Y'all not fighting against when blacks killing each other. If black lives mattered so damn much, why in this city you don't see Black Lives Matter out here telling you black men and gangbangers to stop killing each other. Quit slaughtering each other in the goddamn street. Oh, Black Lives Matter to them only when a white officer killed a black person. Black Lives Matter didn't even matter when those damn five black officers killed Tyreek Nichols. Where was Black Lives Matter at protesting and shit then? They wasn't nowhere to be found. They wasn't nowhere to be found. They wasn't cutting up like they did with George Floyd, like when those five black officers beat the hell out of that young man and killed him. Black Lives Matter went around. So Black Lives Matter, that slogan don't mean a goddamn thing. So, yeah, that white boy got a right to goddamn it tell the fucking truth. I don't give a fuck because he's so, what y'all call him white. He's telling the goddamn truth. Like I said, I wish I could have goddamn it went up there and made that speech. Maybe they wouldn't have listened, though, even if it's black. So they want to make it out of race because he's a so-called white face telling the lie. I would have went up there. They ain't had to pay me shit. I would have went up there and told the truth. Black, damn, Black Lives Matter. Piss on y'all t-shirts. Excuse me, y'all. I mean, slow it down. But it, the truth has to be told. Quit playing these fucking games with people. And that's why, you know, brother, I've been putting people up on the boule. Uh-oh. Yeah, about the boule. These house Negroes. I don't even want to call them house Negroes. But these pacified Negroes who just want American pie. They want they things, and they misleading people with this silly shit. Like I said, the NAACP. Let me let you go, Dave. Like I said again, the NAACP dude, whoever he was, executive, up there telling people if Donald Trump win, it's going to be Nazism part two. You sit your silly ass down. That's why black people can't get nowhere today with that silly ass shit like that. Nazism. And that Joe Biden punk ass up there, he been saying, when he said in a video, on video, on record, well, we don't need any more nigger mayors. We got one nigger mayor. He always said he didn't want the schools to be integrated, calling people animals, these savages. But y'all want to talk about Nazis. Y'all out y'all goddamn mind. Damn the NAACP. And you ain't never been for black folk. You ain't shit. just like goddamn it, Black Lives Matter. Quit playing with this bull. Y'all got to wake up, man, and realize these people don't mean a goddamn thing for Black America. Like Brandon Johnson, punk ass in Chicago, this punk ass new mayor they got down here in Memphis, Tennessee, Paul Young, all these people, they don't give a damn about y'all Black folks. That punk-ass woman up there in New York, they're stealing all the goddamn money. The Black folks don't give a damn about Black folks in these leadership positions. Well, we don't even call them leaders no more. Just in them goddamn positions, because they ain't my damn leader. To hell with them all. Quit misleading people. So that's why I said we need some more of this shit to keep happening. So people can get y'all get fed up and y'all get tired of this silly shit and these so-called people who playing y'all so we can start standing up and come together and see that we got a common cause and what they doing to us. And we stand up and fight against they punk ass. That's what it's take. That's
right
what
on.
It's going to take. Some more hardship
right
need
on.
To come. Some more hardship.
I wish you bring that over
come.
There. I wish you would call up that Moon Man show. And lay out that right there, what you just said, because they couldn't take it. He'd be ready to fight.
Yeah, he
you know,
he
don't want to hear no truth and no, you know, realness of why the NAACP and these other groups that so-called stand up for blacks, you never see them. Black Lives Matter, you never see them. I haven't seen them since probably George Floyd. Like, all the things that happened, I haven't seen Black Lives Matter nowhere.
Yes, go ahead, Dave. I heard you, bro.
Hey,
my bad.
Hey. So, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but...
No, go ahead, bro. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You know the cops that whooped Tyree Nichols' ass was all Omega Sci-Fi. They were all Q-Dogs. I don't know if you remember that. They was all Q-Dogs.
So, they all went to, like, a black college?
All of them were Q-Dogs.
Yes, sir.
Damn.
All of them, I don't know if you remember that, but there was all...
No, I didn't know that.
That was in Memphis, right?
Yes, sir.
Go look it up. There was Omega Sci-Fi. Some of them were presidents of the Omega Sci-Fi.
I remember
anybody
that
ever
part.
Die in anything over there when they do their, you know, swear you in as far as being in their camp, you know, at the college?
Yeah.
Anybody ever get killed or die from, like, being hazed or something?
You know what, Justin?
Yeah, they...
One of them did get in trouble then today. You brought me back to mind. One of them did. You're right. He was a president somewhere, and he got in trouble about something in college with that fraternity.
Yeah.
You remember the story about what happened with that?
Yeah, I remember that. And you know what? And that's why I tell you, Kamala Harris, a.k.a. all these damn but black leaders are under some kind of, what do you call it, the pan-Hellenistic council. That's what they're under. The pan-Hellenistic council is a organization started for the connect all black Greek organizations together, because at one time they was acting like they was beefing together. But when memberships started getting lower, they had to unite. So, yeah, all of them same organization, and they're all ran by somebody else. So, yeah, that's why
damn.
I'd say y'all got to really be careful with dealing with, you know, black leaders, because black leaders are really, all of them are under that, you know, under the order of the Pan-Hellenistic Council. I know the other night, you know, Alpha Male was saying that not everybody that made it is sold out. Anybody that makes it and start running shit in the black community, then damn sold out. They done sold out. Ain't no such thing as that. You can just all be cool. You can run stuff. You can manage. Everybody, they got to take something away from you. They have to. They have to. In order for you to make it, they have to take something from you. And that's what happens with the Pan-Hellenistic Council.
Okay? See, I'm going to say the only reason I kind of go against that because I'm going to say what's going to happen. Just say if, I don't know, just say if Culture Freedom got to some kind of, I don't know, big main stage or something. with that is people will start saying the same thing with us then. See, that's why sometimes I be careful about on that. See, them nigga don't sold, excuse my language, they don't sold out. They must be, because see, remember they were saying that? If anybody who don't made it beat, they don't sold out. See, that's why I be kind of watch going into something like that, saying anything of that nature. Because like I said, there's some people who probably ain't, you know, that's what I say. We have to really just dig deep in to see the connections and see who's affiliated with what. But that's what I like to do before I say that, you know, make sure. Because I don't know, because it's hard for me to say that, well, I don't want to say everybody. Because like I said, there's some people in the Greek fraternity that don't even know a damn thing about the boule. They're not even familiar with all that shit. They don't know nothing about no damn boule. They just joined the Greek fraternity because, like I said, somebody, you know, introduced to them in college and told them this and told them that, and they joined. And they don't know. It's like a brother had, a brother of mine I told, he came on the show, y'all, the two pastors I had on, a brother, Pastor Norman. He said he joined Masonry. He was a Mason. He said he didn't know a lot of that stuff. He's a Mason, and he's a Christian. He said once he started getting up the rank and started hearing all these different names and stuff like that, he like, oh, wait a minute, I got to get up out of this. I didn't know this here. As you know, as a Christian, he like, I can't do this. So that's what I'm saying. I just personally, this is my opinion. I had to just say for the record, it's my opinion. I don't think everybody who get on some who basically, I would say they sold out. Because, like I said, that again was sometime you might discourage people at the same time when you say, when we throw things out like that. I don't want, you know, some people who might be kind of like not strong-minded. Damn, if I get something, they're going to say I sold out too. Because I'm going to tell you, my son one time asked me that when he was younger. He asked me this because he talked, you know, with Dr. King. He heard what happened to Dr. King, Malcolm and stuff. My son even asked me that, Dad, if I tell the truth, if I start telling the truth, they going to kill me too? So that's why I said we have to be mindful of a lot of stuff we throw out, because some people might be scared. And that's what one thing they did. They try to instill fear in our people so they would speak out, because you thought if you speak out and tell the truth, you might get killed like Brother Malcolm. You might get killed like our brother Dr. King. And then the list goes on and on and on. So some people won't, that's why they won't say shit. They'll be silent, be quiet. So that's why it's just me personally. I think real technical on stuff. And I don't like to try to discourage people, because I know some of people can get real goddamn discouraged. But yeah, I hear what you're saying though. So I hear what you're saying, but that's just me, you know. That's me. I'm not saying you don't have the right to say it. That's just me. Because like I said, again, I know what I went through far as me. So somebody could probably say it that with me. For me coming up, here's a dude, no goddamn high school diploma. I ain't even got a 7th grade education, but a lot of shit that I did. And I would have to say white dude gave me the opportunity, taught me how to get in management, gave me the opportunity because seeing what I was doing as far as working, gave me the opportunity to talk to me all about management and shit. So somebody might, oh, you sold out. You a white boy, you don't sold out. No, I ain't sold shit. I still was militant as hell back then. But I appreciate that opportunity for training and giving me the opportunity to learn how to manage and manage business. You know what I'm saying? So that I can use that for my own self. I ain't sold out a goddamn thing. So that's what I'm saying. I just can't wrap it because I know damn well I ain't sold out no goddamn well. And I know what sure. I've been through. I ain't got no money like that, but, you know, but still, that's why it's just for me, I can't utilize that. But go ahead, brothers.
You know, I can't touch any of that what y'all was saying, but we could take it back to what we was talking about earlier about the church and whatnot and being forced to go, and that you will rebel if somebody forced you to do something. So that's my story. You know, I like going to church when I like to go to church, but not every Sunday. But my mother insisted on forcing me to go, even when Sunday came and I didn't feel like going. So she would, you know, okay, you going to church, even if I say I don't want to go, you know, just attitude and you better get dressed and all this and that. And so by the time you know it, after continuously going through this all the times, I didn't want to go, but my mother was going to go because she's in the choir and she's in a couple of choirs and she goes to church Monday night and Wednesday, like you were saying, and I think there's a Friday service and then Sunday two services. So she forced me to go to at least three things, you know, during out the week. But it turned out that I ended up rebelling on that because I would skip church like you skip school. So, yeah, I ended up getting up, get dressed, suit on and all like that. But by the time I probably go to Sunday school, and if we didn't get to church by the time Sunday school was over, then church would start, then I'd just go to church. And I'd be in church for maybe a half an hour, and I'd just skip out and go to the arcade up the street. Or it was Sundays when I would skip out and even just walk 2 miles up to the mall and just hang out in the mall for a little while, walk around the mall and then get back, you know, start walking back and get back before church was over. And then there was other times when I would be forced to go to church and my mother would park the car across the street and the security guard, you know, watch over all the cars over there. And I would just come out and go sit in the car while church was, what they were having church. Just sit in the car and listen to the radio. That's when I fell in love with AM radio and talk radio. Because, I was rebelling on being forced and dragged to this church that, I didn't hate, but I didn't, in my own mind, want to do it. And so for myself, I was like, well, I'm not going to be made to do something I don't want to do, so I'm going to do what I want to do. And so I would skip church. And I would sit in the car a lot of Sundays and just listen to the radio. And then it was a point where at 12 o'clock, our church comes on the radio. So at 12 o'clock noon, the church come on the radio. I sit there and listen to the church on the radio. And be enjoying it a little something, or hear enough of the preacher preaching so that if my mother questioned me about what the preacher was preaching about, if she, you know, was to know if I was in church or not. Because she did catch me skipping church one time and pulled me out the arcade where all the kids, we kind of all skip church and walk up to the arcade and play games and buy cookies and candy and all that. It was a nice little place we could hang out, but don't let your parent find out, because she come pull me by my ear out the arcade and all that and telling me, you know, you better get back into church. So I had to do that. But, yeah, if you forced. Now, again, you know, I rebelled as far as that went. But like I was saying, and how in the Bible it say that you raise up a child so it will go, so that, so you want to, you know, how y'all gotta have to read it again, because you know me. I ain't good on those Bible quotes, but I know what I'm talking about, and y'all know what I mean. So,
as long as you know what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
I said, long as you know what you're talking about in your head, that's all that matters.
Oh, no. You raise up a child, so say that, please, one of you.
Yeah, raise up a child. And the way that he, I like to say he or she, because I don't mind, but he stand for she, he or she, raise up a child in the way that he should go, and he would never depart from it.
Okay, that's what happened with my mother raising me. Now, she wanted me to not, end up getting in trouble in the world, end up in jail, getting killed and all that. So she wanted me to, you know, be involved with being in a place where, you know, it's saints, you know, good people and whatnot. And even in the church, I joined the Boy Scouts in there. And we had troop number 777. And nobody else had that troop number. And when we would go around, we was a Christian troop. And we was a black troop. We, all of our Boy Scouts was black. And our scout master was a deacon. Yeah, he's a deacon. He was Deacon White. Well, we called him Brother White. And he was our scout master and whatnot. And so we went camping and all that, being part of the church. So I went camping different places and had different experiences, and it was good. I was even on the softball team and the Boy Scouts, and just so many good things. So that's why I really never talk bad about, like, the church, because the church I came from, the pastor was a real good dude. And, you know, he had a lot going on, and he had a lot of members who trusted him, and he was doing good things for all of his saints and all, you know, the followers of him and all like that. So he was well-loved and, you know, everything. So, yeah, it's fact. The church I grew up in, it's the church that Rosa Parks was funeralized in, and also the same church that Aretha Franklin was funeralized in, you know, and some other, you know, type famous people too. Greater Grace Temple, Detroit. So yeah.
And just let me straighten out something, and I missed to give it a exact quote right fast, you don't mind. Like I said, Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom, 22:6, it said, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That's it.
I rebelled from church, but I came into a understanding of, you know, just different branches of theology or even religions and whatnot. And so I find my aunt being the best and probably the greatest for me. But, you know, I'm understanding of all the other religions that, you know, I'm friends with and whatnot, or, you know, that come from everything else. But I think my eye is probably my thing. My eye, yeah.
Just that I'm friends with, God. But, you know, my eye is nothing but learning principles. It's nothing different. It's just learning principles of life. That's it. I mean, people like try to make so much big difference out of it, but it's just learning principles of life and rules of life. That's it, and disciplines of life. You know, that's why it's stupid to hear the comedic community and the Hebrews and stuff like that. Israelites fight over this. It's you learning principles of life and how to live life. Like, it's the same thing we talk about, how to treat people and, you know, and conduct yourself. That's it, human behavior. Hell, before that, like being before the Bible was even written, you had the laws of Hammurabi and other laws that was in the Mesopotamia area. So it's the same thing. There's plenty of cultures that had, you know, what they said, rules and guides. So yeah, that's what people got to look at. Stop that foolishness too, you know. So yeah, that's it's just teaching the principle.
Yeah, I think that being so my mother brought me up in church and that, and my aunt is closely related to Christianity. So, you know, with the principles and stuff, you know, so like, I think it might be evolved me up to my aunt and my overall understanding and my spiritual quest, you know, for, you know, the connection to the Creator.
So, yeah. I got one video I want to play. Yeah, because Damod said, "Do not thou shouldn't." Well, it don't say thou shouldn't, but do it teach about killing It teaches against killing, stealing, and all that type of stuff, right? So it's that's a principle that's worth. So if that's a principle right there you can use, so what's wrong with it? So yeah, that's why it is this crazy. But let me play this one quick clip right there.
The number of migrants evicted today was small, only around 34, primarily single men, from three city-run shelters. Yet, they represent the beginning of a policy that the city announced last November, but repeatedly delayed because of the winter months. Outside of Westtown's migrant shelters...
That ain't the one I want. Hold on one second. I want to play this, need to play the Brandon Johnson crazy ass, see what he talking about. Let me see.
Election day is over in Illinois, but at this hour, ballots are still being counted. With 98% of the vote tallied in the city, it looks like voters have rejected the Bring Chicago Home referendum.
The WGN political reporter Tamon Bradley live at City Hall tonight, where Mayor Brandon Johnson and his progressive allies are reacting. Tamon.
Micah and Ray, when he ran for Chicago mayor, he took up Bring Chicago Home, promising he'd get it passed. Tonight, it appears he's failed. Tonight, Bring Chicago Home headed for defeat. Thousands of mail-in ballots must still be counted, but so far, voters appear to have rejected the measure. For Mayor Johnson, it's a spectacular loss, the first test of his tax the wealthy to invest in people agenda. The mayor says he's not deterred.
There are 68,000 people who are unhoused. There's not a fight that we have not taken on that we won't have the ability to win. So guess what? Buckle up.
The referendum would raise the transfer tax on properties sold above $1 million while lowering the tax on sales less than $1 million. The money raised would be used to combat homelessness. The Chicago Teachers Union, United Working Families, and other progressive groups that have had success in recent elections could not overcome a $2 million campaign against Bring Chicago Home waged by realtors, building owners, and managers. With turnout in Chicago on track to be the lowest in 80 years, the mayor hints he might try again in a future election.
Now we're going to keep organizing. Look, you all know who I am, right?
While Johnson remains upbeat, longtime advocates say it's time to regroup.
But we've got to take a long, hard look at exactly what happened, develop an analysis, and figure out where to move forward from here.
What may have happened, some city leaders say, is the ballot question failed to provide specifics about the spending plan.
I think people right now, when we're in the moment of crisis and there's so many challenges, and this isn't just city, but all government, they want to get a better sense of confidence in the decision making. And I think in order to do that, we got to provide more of the details, more of the plan, kind of show your work.
Yes. Organizers are waiting for the final results before revealing what's next. Live from City Hall, Tamon Bradley, WGN News.
Yeah, so them people getting smart. They don't just want to listen to this lying ass. They want to see, like I said, what, the lowest turnout in so many years? Damn, so they sick of him already. They sick of him. So they ain't going with that bull crap. So, yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. People going to have to go through something. And them people in Chicago, what they going through, what they going through, they already like, listen, no, we're going to have to stand up for this. And that's what I'm saying. People had to go through some hardship. And that's some, you know, that's some human behavior we have. And we're talking about behavior. It's a bad human trait that you got to go through something bad before you start making changes, especially when it's something
bad.
And
you're making a valid point over there. You're making such a great point with that because they had a chance to choose the best mayor for themselves, and they didn't. They chose the worst. And they had a whole lot of people running over there in Chicago for mayor. And the one that was the best one for them was an older black man who was rich, but he didn't have the most proper grammar. He didn't speak the King's English like Brandon Johnson do. He spoke just like a you know, broken English, a little something, but whatever. But he's rich and he's made money, and he still makes money every day. Give away gas. He was giving away $3,000 worth of gas at times during COVID. Now, why wouldn't you want him to be your mayor? He's helping the city. He's helping the people. Every chance you get, he was doing something to help people, and he wasn't the mayor. He He was just a rich dude that was a black man who, like I said, he probably didn't go to college and all that stuff, but he became rich, and he's successful at whatever he do. But they want to choose this dude who, you know, look like a woodpecker, you know what I'm saying? Instead of the black man who an older dude, not the most, you know, handsome, but look, the dude had a plan for that city. Okay, but they, like you said, man, they get what they deserve. They ain't no way I wouldn't, like, just like my city here. We had a billionaire running for mayor. He had a plan to fix the city with some of his money. What'd they do? Chose a broke black woman to fix the city, to try to do something. Okay, come on.
They voted for her just because she was black and she was a woman. There were two things. The reason they voted for her.
Ding, ding. That means correct. I know you know that.
Yeah, yeah. Damn, well, I had something like that, Joey. I mean, I said, call you Joey. I call my Mexican partner at work. I had something like that. Some damn well. I don't see it.
Well, anyhow, yeah, you correct.
Absolutely. You think dude, well, I should have checked his shit. You think he's in a fraternity today? I need to check that right fast. Brandon Johnson. Let me check his thing.
Oh, you talking about talking about Brandon Johnson?
God damn.
Which one?
Yeah. Brandon Johnson. You think he? I'm trying to look it up there. You think he went one of them? He went to Morehouse Day. God
he might
damn!
Be either Omega Psi Phi or Kappa.
He is.
He might be.
Yeah, Dave. Go ahead, bro. Let me look this up right fast.
Is he a Kappa or? He's probably a Kappa. Let me see. Nah, he's Omega. Wait one second. Let me look. Fraternity.
I see somewhere it says something about. He had a connection to Morehouse and the Divine Nine.
It says, "Nah, he's an Alpha Kappa Lambda."
That's what I thought.
He's
I just
one
seen.
Of them motherfuckers. He's a Councilman Brandon Johnson. Today, is this the councilman? Was he a councilman?
He used to be a councilman. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna send you the link. I found some. He's a member of. He joined the chapter of Omega Psi Phi. Okay, let me give it to you. Yeah, I'm about to show you some.
You a bootleg, huh?
Let me see. You know them niggas is all so lie. I just meant to tell you.
Yeah, even if Surrey, you were saying how they don't know. I'm saying like, okay, they may walk in and be in a roulette and then but they don't know. But then somebody say, okay, by the way, welcome to the roulette. You know, because they didn't know where they was at first. Okay.
I'm talking about like you know the head group. Like I said, they might join the roulette. Like my cousin, I forgot what he is. Shit, I forgot what group he is. But they, I don't know, that's his ass. Like a lot of them, I don't know if they just know. Like they don't, like hell, a lot of us didn't know. They might just join, you know some of you guys, they might just join. Like I said, I gave you the analogy, it won't even open day. I don't know what the hell going on. It won't even open. Sometime it'll do that. It won't even open. But yeah, like I said, like I was getting down my partner when he joined Masonry, and once he got up the rank, that's what I'm saying. Like some of them, they just like poo putts, like low level. It's like when low level, because it's the old fraternity are structured just like Masonry. It's structured just like it. So you know you have your little entry levels and shit. Some people at the low level don't know what goes on the higher levels. Like some people in the Blue House Lodge, They don't know what goes on in the Red House, and then once they get up there at the Shrinery, that's a whole nother level. They just, you know, get them to live profane, this the little bit of shit down at the bottom. They don't know the deeper inner meaning of the shit that way at the top. So like a lot of them, they just join. They just, nah, I'm in a Greek fraternity. And then once they start becoming movers and shakers and, you know, start getting their lawyers and start making a little change and start making a little money, that's when they might tap them. Hey, check this out. You've been selected to be so-and-so, so-and-so. Notice they have the thing they call the talent. I can't even ever pronounce it right. The talented 10. I'm saying it like this so I can pronounce it. 10%. It's like almost like Elijah Muhammad said, the 10%. That's what they think called the talented 10th. The 10. So, yeah, it ain't that many of them that they tap in at this thing. Yeah. It's some deep shit, man, but it's a fraternity, secret society. So that's why I said all of them that's in Greek fraternity don't really just know about it, because that's like a secret society of a secret society. You have to be tapped into that. They might hear about it themselves, but you better be a chosen one to be in that mud. And you'll notice, like, a lot of people who been in Boule, like, some of the people here, like, they've been doctors, big name already. You ain't just no poor motherfucker. They ain't finna pull you in no Boule. Nah, you already got to be a mover and shaker. You a big real estate tycoon, or you a big major doctor or something. You got to be a mover and shaker. You just old, you know, you join a fraternity, you working at Amazon. Hell no. Nah. They ain't fucking with you. Nah.
No, probably not.
Nah, right? That ain't how that shit work. That's why I'm saying a lot of them don't. They don't know nothing. They don't know what's going on. There's like a lot of Masons running around here. They don't know shit. They don't know nothing, especially in the Blue Lodge. They don't know nothing. They ain't got no knowledge on nothing. They'll tell them a lot of that. Once they get up there, they'll tell them, hey, man, everything, all that stuff we told you when you was in the Blue House, there was a bunch of bullshit. Yeah, so, you know, once you get them ranks, that's when you get tapped in. Yes, sir. But, yeah, so a lot of them don't know shit.
So I wanted to ask you something about your opinion on your buddy Don Lemonhead getting fired this first day, working over there with the X thing. What do you think about what happened to him with Elon Musk?
I've been seeing it, but I didn't really get into it. I just seen something today. He said, Elon Musk he don't like different opinions, so I don't know what the hell went on with that.
Oh, you don't? Okay, last week on probably like Friday, Don Lemon brought Elon Musk onto his new channel or site on X, and that his platform or whatever you call it. And he started interviewing Elon Musk, and he was asking him a bunch of personal questions and asking him things about if he's going to stop people from having hate speech and this and that. And Elon Musk started getting offended when he started asking him all these questions, and especially some personal questions about him and meeting with Trump and what did they talk about and what did he ask him and all this. He's asking this man all this stuff. And so the man looked at Lemonhead and said, I don't have to answer any of these questions. And he says, you know, I didn't come over here for this and like that. You know, he was like getting real pissed off, and he looked at him so with the coldest look you can ever look at somebody. I mean, you should have seen his face. I mean, I don't know if you did or not, but Elon Musk looked at Don Lemonhead. And then after he got up from there, Don was supposed to have a contract on his show or something with him, and he was going to sign his check every week or month.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, Elon Musk pulled out of the contract and told him he's no longer going to, you know, be part of that. And so now Don Lemon lost a job that he could have been getting paid by the richest man in the world, instead of humbling himself and not trying to offend him or ask him all kind of crazy questions. he felt like he got to ask him some questions that cost him his job on the first day. You know what I'm saying?
Damn. Yeah, I heard it's supposed to have been a partnership. And see, that's the stupid part, because he still, because like the man supposed to made X like a site where you can voice your opinion, like say had a freedom of speech. They still getting mad at him because of that. They want him to censor everybody and all this type of stuff. And yeah,
right.
He did right not to
ask him about that. And he like, look, you know, like how I was just saying, like, how is he supposed to police everybody from saying something? He's only one person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he can't go behind everybody in that.
I don't really see nothing, you know, that's outrageous on there. I be on Twitter. I don't really see nothing outrageous. Like,
the entire limit shouldn't be talking about racism to his boss on the first day anyway, right? And he's a black dude and his boss is white. Why would you bring up any kind of racism?
Yeah. I thought they were just doing a partnership. Like they was going to be partners. He was going to work for Elon Musk.
Yeah, he was. He was going to work for his company or whatever, the X company.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
You know, as you know, doing a show on the X joint, and he was going to pay him. But he messed that up by being too questionable, you know, asking him too many personal things and then bringing up racism and stuff. Like, wouldn't you be, you know, you the boss and you the owner, you the richest man in the world practically, right? And you listening to this little reporter, and he questioned you about racism and stuff and hate speech and crap, right? Like, that's the least of anybody's worries. You could have asked this man all kind of stuff. Oh, what's going on? Like, how's your space rocket going? And, you know, what's your new car going to look like? And, you know, he could have asked him a whole kind of crazy stuff. But Don Lemon want to talk crazy about some hate speech and stuff.
See, that's progressive and liberal in his ass. He can't get it out of him. See, that's the problem right there. He can't get it out of him. And that's what's divided. Oh, brother, here go a 53-second clip. This from inside of the, what's that dude name? I can't ever think his name. That Kaylee Ridehouse, whatever his damn name. Listen to Black Lives Matter. There's just a video showing how they went in there and disrupted. It's like 53 seconds.
What lie? Tell me the lies of Black Lives Matter. Tell me the lie you finna talk about. Go ahead, speak. I was sitting down and I was listening to you. But then time I was, hey, shut up.
Now, the woman that was really talking, y'all, she was, you know, back in the day, we just said she was army boot black. She was, I mean, she was jet black. That was what you call black. Now, and it's crazy. And the other girl got an afro with them damn Black Lives Matter shirts. And the man, y'all, the whole notion, again, we talked about earlier, supposed to have been when he's saying the lies, what they can't say it, the lies of Black Lives Matter. Knows it? The lie, not that Black Lives don't matter, but the lies of Black Lives Matter. So there they go in there.
Why are they supporting Kyle Rittenhouse? Why are they doing that?
Oh, I'm talking about that's the University of Memphis they brought him in. They said they couldn't stop him from coming. Because, again, okay, why wouldn't they? What was the problem? I didn't hear you. I'm glad you brought it. What's the problem with them supporting him in his speech? Number one, he was supposed to come there to talk about the Second Amendment and saying that Black Lives Matter, the lies of Black Lives Matter. So what would be the protest about? And why would they not support him? I mean, he had a right, right? Don't Black Lives Matter have the right to have their protest? So shouldn't he, as American citizens, still have freedom of speech to come in and make his speech? to people
he
who
should.
Want to
I
listen
don't know.
To somebody brought him in.
They were protesting him? Were they protesting
Yeah, they
him?
Protesting him coming to make a speech at the University of Memphis.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm
yeah,
saying.
They're dead wrong. They're dead
so,
wrong.
Then number one, like that's what I was making it. That's what I was saying. He had been acquitted of his charges. He was acquitted. They talking about why?
And it had
why,
nothing to do with Black Lives Matter.
Now he did kill some protesters.
Right.
Shot some,
but nobody
you, did you
was
did
black.
You see the
Everybody
video when he
white.
Shot and killed the people? When he shot and killed
yep.
the protest? I mean, he shot the. I don't know if he killed them, but yeah, I think he did.
It was a man who kind of was walking up on him. He turned and shot him.
Hmm. Yep. And so that's what they mad about. He was acquitted.
But they shouldn't be mad about nothing. And ain't no
and
black
they,
lives was involved.
And they really ain't mad about that him. It ain't about him, about the murder. Some people just threw that out. They're coming out because, and that's Black Lives Matter now. Notice again, there's Black Lives Matter out there because, again, they out there because he's saying Black Lives. They ain't talking about the Second Amendment. That ain't what they meant. Because this is part of his two things. He's talking about the Second Amendment, which, you know, you got a right to carry and bear arms. And the lies, teaching against the lies of Black Lives Matter. That's what they protesting about. Because he, like Malcolm said, what he say, hey, Shorty, now Shorty, the gig is up. Malcolm, the gig, they don't want him to tell the people and explain how they a bunch of bull crap. That's why they got to come in there and disrupt it. That's what that's about. Because he's speaking around telling the people the truth about Black Lives Matter. It's like they talk about the Greek fraternity, the Boule. They went out there to shit. The Boule going to come out there and try to shut him down. Because they don't want they talking about no goddamn Black Lives. I mean, the Boule. Or talking about these damn Greek fraternities, a bunch of bullshit. You know, they go protest him. Nah, what y'all bring Dave in here for? he against Greek fraternities and sororities. Nah, they ain't going to want that.
I got to say, you explained that really well. And that.
Must see the video.
So
I'm
they
y'all
must,
video.
Yeah, they must know that he's going to say something about Black Lives Matter or something. Mm-hmm. And they ain't like what he say, so they're going to stop him from talking.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because most people believe that Black Lives Matter, you know, that bull crap. Notice, like I said, what he get, and they said on the news that what he said, the lies of Black Lives Matter. That's what the name of the thing is, the lies of Black Lives Matter and Second Amendment, which we know in this city, a liberal-ass city again, how they're going against people having a right to care and stuff in this city too. But the criminals got all the goddamn guns, but you can't stop the criminals from robbing you and killing you and shit. So I don't know. It's crazy.
I heard Willie D's report the other day. He said that, no, it wasn't Willie D. It was Nino Brown. Yeah, Nino Brown's report. He said Louisiana just passed a law where everybody can carry without having a permit and everything else. And he said it's going to get crazy and it's going to be dangerous. And it's going to, you know, like you need to be worried because all these fools walk around here and they going to be strapping. As soon as somebody say something wrong to somebody, they going to kill them. And there ain't no law to stop them. He said, what they trying to do, you know. So maybe you could check that video out. He was really dropping it. But in Louisiana, they just did that.
Damn. Yeah, they made the man. He was having his speech. He disrupted the speech so bad, he had to stop this. All of them out there, and the black folks in the Black Lives Matter shirt. A bunch of women, too. Bunch of women. Uh-huh. And probably uh-huh. none of them got no man. You know, all of them LGBT and shit anyway.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have to get Dave. I'm going to have to see if I can rent out a place and bring Dave down here. Dave, you ready to come down here and do a speech, Dave? But there you go. Right.
You know they're going to get us.
They gonna get you, Dave. I'm bring you down to let you speak.
Oh shit! I get fucked up quick.
See,
they'll stress me like Khalid Muhammad.
Oh yeah, no.
But I had a damn Senate after my asthma.
So they got, what you call it? She'll come down here and she'll support you. Wasn't that your girl, Glorilla?
She sure will.
You know damn well she ain't going to support my ass.
That day, girl, that judge.
Yeah, I know it is. I know it is. Don't lie. When he can't get, he can't see her, then he, you know what he got next to him? He got the Japanese version of the blow up doll style.
Oh,
of the, blow, the Glorilla.
Oh, he got the Glorilla blow up doll.
Nah, she too expensive for me.
Oh, they got the special one? Oh, you got to get the ghetto version, the one that's cheaper.
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
And they, I think she don't lighten her skin up, Dave.
What is that?
I think she don't lighten her skin up. You looked at her like she don't bleach her damn skin.
Yeah, I saw that. She fixed her teeth, too.
Yep. It look like she don't got a boob job. It look like she don't got some implant in her breast, too.
Oh, yeah. She was skinny as shit at one time. She's skinny and short.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and Justin been hanging out here down on Beale Street. That's why y'all be saying Maine. Yeah. And the day I told y'all I had to go work Sunday morning, go on Beale Street. You know, they had the St. Patrick thing, so we just went down there to go dump the garbage. We had to be down like 5 in the morning, Sunday morning, so we could dump the garbage. And, man, like 2 that morning, a guy got shot and killed on Beale Street.
Man.
That's why I do not, bro. Now, it's crazy. That whole day through the St. Patrick, it was cool. That's why I don't go down on Beale Street. But like I said, one wife we did win a couple of times. We go in the daytime, shit, like 2 in the evening somewhere. But before it get dark, we out of there. Because I hate to see it. Like my partner at work be saying, these Afro-Americans, once they get out there, all hell break loose. I ain't going to lie. When them younger folk get down there, them goddamn black folk get to coming at night, I'm gone. But mama said, don't let them street lights catch you. Shit, I'm gone. I'm gone before them street lights come on. That's, 2 in the morning. And the thing about it, what happened, a guy bumped into the other guy and made him spill his drink, and he shot and killed him. And the police was standing right across the street on Beale, right across the street from him when he shot and killed the man. Number one, how did he get the goddamn gun on Beale? Because I don't know if they stopped at the dead time of night or whatever, but they'll be out there. They usually do metal detectors and checking everybody, but I don't know. But the police
they
was right
across
the
street.
They did catch
that sucker, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they caught him. He didn't get nowhere. Because the police was like, the one police was standing right across the street from where he was when he shot the man. But all of us spilled drink, shot the man in the chest and killed him. 2 in the morning.
Yeah,
we got
terrible,
there. Man. We got there like 5, we got there like 4 something that morning. Man, people were still out there and shit, walking around, younger folks still walking around, coming out of clubs, 5 in the morning and shit. I'm like, God damn, take y'all ass home. This ain't New York. You know, bills used to be shut down. Y'all must still out drinking, high as hell. Man, that's why I don't go nowhere. I try to have my black ass in the house when it get dark. No, sir. I don't. And I'm going to tell you, I love our people, but I'm going to say this here. And call me what they want. I don't go nowhere where there's a bunch of goddamn us at. I'm be honest. Yeah. Event where it's a bunch of like younger people and a bunch is gonna be a bunch of black. I don't go to none of events like that. Shit, no. Mm-mm. I ain't going. I don't mean no harm. If it do, I had to go somewhere where it's a mature crowd, business minded people.
Yeah,
mature
it.
Crowd. Ain't going nowhere like that. No, hell no.
Man.
Anywhere else, bro? I ain't going. I went to the fair one year. Didn't nothing kick off. Well, it did, but not the day I went. They whooped the hell out of dude that was operating a ride at the fair. They whooped the hell out of dude. So I don't even go there no more. You know, they got Africa. I didn't get a chance to go last year. I was kind of nervous about going, but somehow it ended up raining or something. And I didn't get a chance to go anyway. So thinking about going this year, but man, the way things is now, man, you kind of be nervous about shit going out, like the, you know, back big gatherings, because that's when everything be cutting up. But I'm like, I'm kind of thinking like, well, for something like that, that's a cultural thing. They ain't going to take their crazy ass to nothing like that. So it might be cool, but you never know these days, man. It's kind of crazy. So it's kind of, that's why I said it's kind of, you don't want to live in fear, but you don't want to, I don't know, man, just be out there and get caught up either. So it's hard to even go to big gatherings now, especially with a lot of us folk yet. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Last year in Miami, someone was killed at spring break. And so they beefed up the spring break in Miami this year real good. But people who went to other beaches, there was violence and outbreaks of violence, and people got killed. Not in Miami, where it was all beefed up and they had drones flying over and all these cops everywhere and even curfews. These other beaches, they didn't put all those things in place down in Miami and around the area. So everybody flocked to the other beaches. And I think in the one in Jacksonville, Florida, there was someone who was killed. And then on another beach, there was some fighting and all this stuff, brawling and fighting, and someone was shot. And so just because of a gathering of a whole lot of people and more, you know, of our people was there doing all the shooting type stuff. Now, I don't remember or recall if we know who the culprits were who shot up the celebration after the Super Bowl when they all gathered in Kansas City. Do y'all know who?
Yeah, there was some black teenagers.
Black teens, see?
Yeah, some black teenagers.
And look at where they at, way in Kansas City. Now, I don't know I don't know the makeup out there of our people in Kansas City, but the teens are just off the hook everywhere because of what's going in between their ears. And that drill music is everywhere, all these violent movies and even the video games that you play and get into, and even in the virtual world where you're shooting and killing people and you feel like you in the game now and you killing people. And this one guy, he told me, he's not a coworker, but he works a couple of places down from where I work, but he said that I was in his dream and that we were fighting some like zombies and stuff, and that I had a superpower, and his superpower was like he had this spray thing and just shoot them all up and stuff. And then he said my superpower was supervision, because I could see them coming from real far away and I can tell where they were, and I can, you know, I had some other kind of power, but he said my power was supervision. You know, I was like, thanks, man, that's what's up, you know. But
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all of this stuff that's going on, I lost my train of thought, y'all, on all that. But,
hey,
so I got to go for the night, man. I'll talk to y'all soon, man.
Yeah, I got to get ready to get out of here, too, my damn self.
Yeah, I'm getting tired, too. I lost my train of thought. I mean, I'm getting tired, too.
Oh, yeah, this still work night.
Shalom, man.
All right, shalom. CSN Mangs. I told y'all been in Memphis.
Yeah, say, man. I know how I like how they talk in Virginia, too, because I had this girlfriend, you know, back in the day, and we was teens, but she would say, yeah. You know how you talk, too, Chief Rabbi. You know how y'all say,
he gone,
when you say when you want something, you say, I don't want. No, we won't do this or won't do that. Y'all put won't instead of want.
Yeah, he
go. He go. Okay, well, yeah, he go cut out. I'm gonna cut out. We can all cut out.
Yeah, I forgot. Like, this ain't a Friday, so I can't stay late.
Yeah, well, yes, it was a good show. We kicked in on the topics real good.
Oh, yes, sir.
Can't wait to listen.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yeah, I got to hear him put it up there. That's why I got to get out so I can download it and put it on TalkShoe so it'll load up to TalkShoe. I mean, to the other part thing, distributing sites. All right, appreciate it, brother.
I still got an hour
appreciate
to go on the AI show. I still got an hour to go on that one.
Okay. That's why because Wednesday show was dedicated, you know, because like I said, you said this is your only day off. So that's your day. So that's why I had to make sure we keep this Wednesday thing going. So that's your only day. So, yes, sir.
Yeah, I got Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So, yeah, either one of them. But Wednesdays is great.
Yeah, because I remember said Wednesday. So that's the only way we do the Wednesday. So, yeah, so that's why we try to make sure I keep this going. So you get a chance to participate, though. That's why we did the Wednesday.
Thank you very much, man, for that, you know.
All right.
Looking out for me like that. Give me a chance.
Yes, sir.
To
no telling, brother.
My opinion.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate
that, brother.
Very much.
All right, no problem. Right. I'm going to give you a jump over here, and I'm going to see what's going on Twitter about the study at the University of Maryland. I got to listen to local news tomorrow. I know they're going to be talking about it. So, yes, sir. A local radio station, anyway.
Okay.
Yes, sir. All right. Peace, then, brother.
Peace and love, man. Have a good one.
All right. All right. You too, brother. All right, peace. Okay. All right, fam. Peace. Thank y'all for tuning in to Culture Freedom Radio Network. We are out of here. Peace.